Aaron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning. It's Friday. The rapture continues. A special pre-holiday presidential palm pilot and the usual America-hating, freedom-bashing, Saddam-loving liberal agenda. Right now, I'm joined by the infamous Mark Riley.
Hello.
From back in the day.
From back in the day. I mean, I am in today, too. But
I love
yeah.
that expression you always say that. Man, if this were back in the day,
that's
man,
right.
we'd still be up from last night.
That's right.
Yes, it's the Morning Sedition team. Mark Riley, Mark Maron, here for you.
That's
if
right.
you're wondering where Sue Alucard is, she's not here anymore. She's out in England. She's going to be a freelancer, roving reporter.
Roving reporter. She's going to be in the battleground states.
The battleground states. She's going to be back, supposedly featuring on the show in the fall. That's what she wants to do. She's a reporter. She wants to be out there reporting.
With the people.
So all your speculating and everything else out there in the blog and internet world. Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that thing about you and I supposedly pimping her. Did I see that on a blog somewhere?
I don't know if pimping was the word they used.
No, they said pimping.
Really?
Yeah.
And there was some. That was the blog. Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the blog, and I'm saying, what's up?
That guy's a little. That guy's a little perverted.
Oh well. Hey.
But he's all right, you know. Wait, hey, you know, I get all kinds of weird emails. Yesterday, I got an email from David, about Tough Crowd. I was on Tough Crowd last night.
Oh yeah, yeah. How did that go?
It was fine, man. It was a pretty good crew. You know, Norton took a hit at me at the end, but I didn't have time to come back from it. You know, he closed with a hit at me. But you know what's weird about some of these Republican dudes is off camera,
mm-hmm.
I talked to some of them, and some of these guys who are very pro-Bush, post 9/11, are starting to sort of, question, his integrity in terms of, just because they're comics, in terms of the FCC, in terms of all the lies that he told the people. Like, I have a real hard time with this type of thinking where it's like, yeah, okay, whatever happened before we went to Iraq, that's not the issue. The issue is we're there and it was the right thing to do. It's like, you can't think like that. If you don't assess the process, kind of find the lies in it. I'm sorry I'm saying so much. That's one of the new things I'm going to do. Stop saying you know? So, you can't give the guy a blank check, but a lot of these guys are starting to sort of turn. And I said to him, Jim Norton said to me, like, well, if I could find a more conservative Democrat, I would vote for him. I said, well, he said that John Kerry's too liberal. He's too, and I'm like, what is that? But so what? What does that mean to you? I mean, why wouldn't that be good? I mean, we're comics. I mean, most of the liberal agenda is something that is pro-people and pro-freedom. These guys got such a beef against the liberals for politically correctness. I mean, that's the big beef that most comics, conservative comics, have against liberals, is
really?
That they censored, they censored the language. They weren't, they took that away. They made America and culture, question the language.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's why they're pissed off.
Oh, it's a whole political correctness. And let me tell you something. What you're experiencing, Mark Maron, first of all, is not limited to comics.
Yeah.
What you're experiencing is Republican schizophrenia.
Right.
And I've seen it with some relatively prominent Republicans who I've come in contact with lately, who are publicly on the record saying that, say, well, we got rid of Saddam. Bush is, we have to follow through. Bush is right. We need to stay the course. But as soon as you get them in private conversation, they say something very different.
Yeah, these guys are out of control. This is crazy.
I'm scared. Yeah, and I mean, these are the people I'm talking about. You're talking about comics.
Hmm.
I'm talking about people who are in the party.
From back in the day?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
No.
That party? The party?
Today.
Yeah, all right. I believe you.
They're on the down low. I can't mention their names because that would be violating a trust. But trust me. More than one Republican functionary is questioning what they're presenting. It's not just the, the ultra-liberals within the party or the moderates, because there are no real ultra-liberal Republicans anymore. But there are certainly, when you start looking at some of the moderates within the party.
But the fiscal conservatives are very upset with the waste of money and the expansion of government.
And the tax cuts during wartime, which is one of McCain's issues.
Well, it was a transgression. It was, like, ridiculous. I mean, if you believe in the country and you believe in the people and the people believe in you, you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to make concessions during a time of war. You know what I mean? And I'm doing it again. I got to cut out the you-knows. Yeah. It's like, I get one email that festers in my head. Stop the you-knows. Let me just say one thing, because I got an email here, and it's like it kind of goes along with something else. Today is the 40th anniversary of the signing of the Civil Rights Act.
Of 1964, absolutely.
And President Bush says the bill has made America a better country, but that the evil of bigotry still exists. And I got a I got an email yesterday that says you've got it all wrong about Ramon. He's you know, Bush's guy, Bush's drug guy, and our Oval Office guy who gets us the Palm Pilot. See, Ramon doesn't get his hands dirty with Bush. Ramon brings it in. He's the wholesaler, so to speak. It is Leroy, the homie who comes down from 14th Street to sell it to Bush by the bag at Lafayette Park. And Leroy is related to Riley. Isn't that right, Riley? You're also wrong about Ramon's working both sides. That would be Shlomo. You see, Shlomo and his ancestors have been proven to have that strong tendency for dual loyalties, you know, kind of like that guy Pollard, the convicted spy, if you get my drift. And Shlomo is related to Marin. Isn't that right, Marin, from Charlie? Well, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, no account.
Bastard.
Yeah, racist,
white supremacist bastard.
That's right. But, and for people who don't know, yes, I'm black. Yes, Marin's Jewish.
And oddly, I am related to Shlomo. And that, you know, that's the weird thing about Charlie. Yeah, what is Charlie? Charlie's alone is in his apartment, you know, at the email thing right now, you know, tapping into JewWatch.com, looking for people's names. He's wondering why he doesn't have any friends and he hears voices at night. Yeah. Well, thanks for the email, buddy.
Yeah.
Really. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Keep coming. Keep coming.
Yeah, keep coming. It works.
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
You know, we saw this unfold before our very eyes yesterday, Marin.
Did you see
that? Faced his accusers.
He had a vote for Kerry button.
Yeah, right. To say he was in denial was the height of understatement. He scoffed at the charges against him when he got to court, said the arraignment proceeding was, quote, theater by Bush, the criminal, unquote. He also questioned...
And that's coming from one of the old puppets of the theater.
Of the theater,
know,
yes.
Watching the new puppet theater start.
Saddam also questioned under what authority the hearing was being held and refused to sign a statement listing the accusations against him. It, yeah, right? He was like seemingly in total denial.
Either that, he's just so confident. It was so weird because it's like that thing we've been doing. He was sort of like, okay, I'm back. That was a close one. Where's my hat, please? Bring me my sword. Let's get back to business.
Right. Where's the Kalashnikov?
Call Uday. Why did you have to? Okay, where's my hat? Go ahead.
Did you see this thing about Saddam, while he's been in custody, said he once put Uday in solitary confinement?
To teach him a lesson. But that was a complicated story. I had no idea. Uday killed a dude.
Bludgeoned
the guy to death for playing his music too loud. But the truth of the matter was, is that the guy who he killed set Saddam up with a mistress who sort of like pushed Uday's mom
out of the way, yeah.
So, God, this is Greek, is what this is. Greek tragedy.
No, this is Jerry Springer tragedy.
Jerry Springer in Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. Saddam won't be going to trial until next year, it doesn't seem at this point. But opinions about what should happen to him cover a wide range. France and Germany, for example, have objected to the possibility that Iraq will reinstate the death penalty just in time to execute Saddam.
Don't kill him until we get our money back.
Yeah, right? Assuming that Saddam is, in fact, found guilty. And, you know, we talked to Michael Ware yesterday that essentially says, hey, they are greasing and oiling up the rope and building the scaffold to hang. I mean, Michael Ware treats it like in Baghdad, it is a foregone conclusion that this man will die.
Michael Ware, the Time Baghdad,
the Time Baghdad bureau chief.
Yeah, I mean, he'd certainly paint a picture that they're ready to kill him right now, but now there's a new democracy in place. So they're going to have the due process and the democratic trial. But I'm going to see how the democracy holds up when they're doling out the punishment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, we've democratically decided through due process that you're guilty, and we will take one digit from each hand for each charge. Then we will take your testicles and put them on a stick and dangle them in front of you, you bad man. Then we will mutilate your head.
Mm-hmm. Where is, I'm wondering if Alawi, the prime minister, is going to have to send the death warrant to Bush to have him sign off on it. Because I think a lot of Iraqis think that it's not really the interim government that's trying him here. It's not really the folks that we now see, the players that are now on the stage in Iraq.
Well,
they see the hand of puppet master George W.
Well, after what you just said, clearly it's not. I mean, if these guys had their way, they'd be like, put him up against the wall. Let's do it now.
Yeah. Now, the 25-member European Union will reportedly let Iraq know of the union's opposition to the death penalty. Meanwhile, not everyone in Iraq wants to see Saddam hang. There's some stories that we've come across this morning that say Iraqis living in Sunni areas of the country say his treatment is an insult to all Arabs. Some would even like to see him reinstalled as president in large measure because they say he stood up
So that's
the evil America.
That's going to be a difficult campaign. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. So come on back and good morning. It's Air America Radio.
How to load the family vehicle for a 4th of July vacation. Step 1. Measure the allotted cubic feet of storage space. Step 2. Measure the cubic feet of family possessions to be loaded into said storage space. Step 3. At all costs, avoid saying the 7 unmentionable words. Your 3-year-old will just end up repeating them for the entire drive. This holiday road tip is brought to you by GEICO. Stay alert, drive safe, save money.
You think I'd maybe had some Bush's phases? Maybe, please. I'm a Carrier air conditioner. Isolation lets me focus on keeping you comfy.
For unmatched expertise, Carrier stands alone.
I'm an expert. You're on the job. Don't even think about it, Doug.
Our air conditioners with Puron refrigerant are energy efficient and environmentally sound with a 10-year limited warranty. See dealer for details.
Nothing can stop my dedication. Heat waves, rain, your kid's soccer ball. Ouch. I'm fine, really.
No wonder Carrier's trusted in more homes than any other brand. Carrier, turn to the expert.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Friday. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're talking about Saddam Hussein and people who are still into him. The Saddam loyalists.
Making a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that there's still a lot of people. And the reasons that they say that they like him is because he stood up against America. There's a lot of Iraqis that are, you know, anti-American, clearly, and believe that, you know, Saddam Hussein was a dude that stood up for Iraq, that did not take any BS. And they respect him for that. But I think they've got, and now, you know, what really strikes me as disturbing is they're now starting to classify all the insurgents in Iraq as Saddam loyalists, which, you know, according to, you know, Michael Ware, to Naomi Klein, to you know, a lot of people that we've spoken to, this is not the case. And I think this is somehow that the Bush administration is trying to spin this thing into, like, well, if there's 5,000 of these Saddam loyalists and we've got Saddam and they can see we got him, that on some level we put a lid on this and that it's only a matter of time before they dissipate because we're going to kill this guy and he's not going to get out.
It's all a load. They know that the insurgents are not predominantly Saddam loyalists. They know this.
To spin it that way and to make people believe, first of all, you know, how do people still believe that, you know, that this war was about democratizing, you know, Iraq. It was supposed to be about weapons of mass destruction. It was supposed to be about a threat to the United States. And by classifying them as Saddam loyalists, they're denying the fact that there are several different factions of insurgents. There are Baathists. There are jihadists. There are al-Qaeda, which are also jihadists. There is fighting within the different factions of jihadists. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a lie to make it seem like they've got some control over the situation, where clearly, you know, terrorism is out of control. They can't even get into some parts of Iraq. And this in some ways, this prolonged trial of Saddam Hussein is sort of a smokescreen.
Well, what it does is provide important cover for the Bush reelection campaign.
Right.
They've got no weapons of mass destruction. They've got very little of what they said they went into Iraq to deal with. But they do have Saddam. And now they've got Saddam on a public stage. And believe me when I tell you, I think the Bush people will say to the Iraqis very quietly, let's keep him out here as often as we can as we head into Labor Day and heading toward the November election. The more often Americans, because remember, right now, for most Americans, that's what they've been seeing. They've been, you know, since his arraignment yesterday, they've been seeing Saddam Hussein. They've been seeing, for the Bush campaign, the reason, the only reason they got left, why we went over there in the first place.
But the weird thing is that, like me, as an American, as a person who, you know, reacts as a human being, you know, Saddam did not look broken. He did not look stressed. He looked confident. He looked,
he looked defiant.
He must have been on the Atkins. You know?
There you go. Broccoli and steak.
But, you know, I don't know how on some level internationally or certainly within Iraq this could help them by, putting them on TV, you know, looking strong and saying like,
defiant. Not looking strong. Looking defiant.
Yeah, he did look a little sketchy. He's like, this is ridiculous. Where are my people?
Yep. Well, that kind of defiance reinforces the Saddam as evil scenario that really works for the Bush administration. See, because, again, they've got nothing else. The yellow cake, all of the rest of the stuff that they said back in early last year when you know, Bush went to the United Nations, Powell went to, all of that stuff is dust at mm-hmm. this point.
Mm-hmm.
What they've got is this guy who was so evil, who gassed people, who murdered people, who, you know, put his own kid in solitary confinement. You know, they want to make Saddam into a public monster because that way, this is what we fought against.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that what's going on in Afghanistan right now, which I think we should probably talk about,
yes.
is that, you know, what they did in Iraq, you know, is deny, they did not finish the job in Afghanistan. You know, Afghanistan is out of control right now. People are being shot. People who are involved with the voting process, they're trying to have free elections there. The Taliban are killing people who are, who are trying to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So there were so many things left unresolved in Afghanistan. When they saw the opening, the gap, just to go to Iraq because they could, you know, they left all this unresolved business in Afghanistan. Now they're not showing that on national television, that the reason we went there was to, you know, actually solve a terrorist problem. You know, al-Qaeda got away. The Taliban is still has a heavy influence. And so, you know, and Osama bin Laden.
He's still free with his dialysis machine going back and forth between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And, in fact, some Afghan officials are now saying that September election date cannot happen, that they cannot elect a new president. Now, Hamid Karzai, who is the current president, I'm sure who would like to be elected permanently, has said that he's going forward with the September date despite the violence. But the fact is, some of his own other officials, in fact, UN officials are saying, look, we can't do this in September. They have to push it back to October. In fact, there's some people who are floating the idea of having an October presidential election and then waiting to hold a parliamentary election until early next year because it's too hectic, it's too chaotic. But, you know, Mark, when you talk about Iraq, there's a story that as we get ready to celebrate the 4th of July, we really have to kind of let people know about. There's been a recent study by the New England Journal of Medicine that says about one out of every six soldiers coming home from the war in Iraq is suffering some post-traumatic stress disorder or other emotional difficulty.
A lot of the guys who were there in the first wave.
Yes, they're coming back, and they're not coming back as whole human beings. Now, again, this speaks to what is the government doing to help make these people whole, to help deal with this. You can't just send people over there, extend their tours, bring them back here, and give them the, you know, the equivalent of a subway token and a hail and hearty thank you and say, hey, you know, have a nice day. The bottom line is, what is the government prepared to do to deal with this stress that is, well, we can get into the whole question about whether it's in furtherance of an unjust war. That was the whole Vietnam thing. But the bottom line is, these people need help. To what extent is the government helping them?
Well, yeah, but that goes back to the inability of this administration to even, you know, confront the, you know, human results of war, either whether they be dead or whether they be in trouble. I mean, the VA hospitals are not, you know, funded enough, and these people don't get the attention they need. They certainly don't get the media attention they need.
No, they don't get the media attention they deserve. And that same study says that there were fewer psychiatric problems among soldiers that served in Afghanistan as opposed to Iraq. That should tell us something right there.
Yeah, it should tell us that, you know, okay, you guys, we're moving to Iraq.
Yeah. So, why? Don't ask.
Yeah.
But we're moving to Iraq. It's indeed, you know, I feel bad for the people because, I went to see these people off, some of the soldiers, when they were going to Fort Dix to start training for deployment in Iraq. And you can see, you know, they're leaving their families behind. They're leaving their loved ones. They're leaving their jobs. They're leaving their lives behind. And I'm not sure. I know that they're going with a sense of purpose. That's what the armed forces does for people. But the bottom line is, what happens? I mean, what are they really going over there and fighting for? And how will they be treated on their return?
Yeah, and the thing that becomes clear just in looking at today's news and almost every day's news, you know, with the news from Afghanistan that the election process can't continue, you know, effectively because of Taliban attacks, because of feuding warlords, because there's chaos in that country. You know, even with Saddam, you know, in custody and about to go on trial, there are parts of Iraq that are inaccessible because of insurgencies. And what's happened is the world is clearly more unstable. July 4th weekend coming up, you know, there are terror alerts, but they are not raising the terror code color.
We're going to get into that because that's deep, too.
Yeah, because they don't want police forces to spend too much money, so they're going to just, you know, put it on us. We've got a whole little report here of things you need to look for. And also, you know, now, you know, you saw pictures of Negroponte taking his post, you know, as ambassador of Iraq, just with that, you know, kind of, where do I start killing? Where's the killing desk? When can I start killing these people?
Well, you know, it must warm the cockles of your heart because you're going to fly on this 4th of July weekend.
Man, don't remind me, man.
You know, now you got the FBI saying, well, we don't know exactly what the deal is, but just be careful. That's all there is to it.
806-303-2270, 806-303-AAR0. If you've got any comments, any reflections, we got more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do have some more stuff to talk about. We got to talk about the judge's ruling in Florida about the suspected felons, also the presidential Palm Pilot and the liberal agenda, as well as you on the phones. This is Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
This is the America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Some of the American legal community this morning are questioning why Saddam Hussein, a former head of state, was not brought before the International Criminal Court for War Crimes. The United States government does not recognize that court. Those experts say the U.S. would also face charges from the ICC. Saddam Hussein's court appearance yesterday spawned a mixed reaction on the Iraqi streets, where some looked forward to more of the legal proceedings and others were in a state of shock to see their once powerful president facing charges. Civil libertarians this morning are up in arms over a Bush-Cheney campaign 2004 plan to mobilize a conservative religious community in a blatant bid for church membership directories. And comedian and educator Bill Cosby is at it again. He took his message of rage and criticism against black men to the stage of the Reverend Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push Coalition in Chicago. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Center's experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress, but you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
The Majority Report.
And the party goes from 7 till question mark.
Hello.
Question mark. And you know what that means? It's going to be insanity. If there's a question mark, then you know you are in for a wonderful time.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
That's what happens when you start letting gays marry in your state. All of a sudden, there's no more time.
There's no more time. And there's just a question mark.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's 33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. I'm an idiot. Mark Riley is here.
I'm sort of an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot. I gave out the wrong number. How long have I been doing this? 3 months and 2 or 3 days? 866-303-2270. 866-303-AAR0. What did I say? 806?
You said something like that, yeah. Oh, before we go to the phones, Mark, and I know this isn't in our scripted rundown, but I did want to say something about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby went before the Rainbow Push Coalition. And as he did at the Brown versus Board of Education celebration, blasted certain elements within the black community. Among others, he blasted black men who beat their wives and who wouldn't. He also blasted black parents for allowing the N-word to become the favorite expression of too many of our children inside the black community. Now, he's not wrong about any of this,
yeah,
by the way. He is not wrong about any of the things that he has said. There are people who have a problem with where he says it and the fact that the media, the mainstream media, has picked it up, and that in many cases in the past, people turn around and say, well, see, he said it. It must be true.
So you're saying that they think he should, you know, talk to the community as opposed to the entire country with this stuff?
Well, I mean, that's what some people say. But, I mean, he was at the Rainbow Push Call. This is Jesse Jackson's thing. So where else is he supposed to say it if he can't say it there?
Right. Let me do the presidential palm pilot real quick. We got it a little late because Ramon heard what I had to say about him this morning. And he got paranoid. Here's the president's schedule. 8:30 a.m. Wake up. Holiday weekend. No Iraq. No Kerry. No Reagan. No Clinton. No Michael Moore. No Abu Ghraib. No Cheney. No F word. And best of all, no work. Just me and Laura and a case of bottle rockets. 9:30 a.m. Choose belt buckles and hats for casual spontaneous Camp David photos. Vacation note, stay away from that damn mountain bike. 10:15 a.m. Call Cheney. Can I go yet? Can I go yet? Can I go yet? Damn. 10:30 a.m. Put on boring big boy suit. Have to act presidential, but only for one more hour. 10:55 a.m. Make boring, stupid remarks on the boring, stupid economy. Include this phrase. America's doing so well that under my administration, people work two or three jobs.
Uh-oh.
12:10 p.m. Before leaving for Camp David press conference, make sure that annoying Irish chick isn't given press credentials. Oh, that one. Oh, okay. The one from the interview that put it, pressed it.
Yeah.
All right, 12:12 p.m. Enough of that communicating with the people crap. Saddle up. Let's roll. 1:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., arrive at Camp David, tell Kissinger to clear his stuff out. That's about time. 2 o'clock p.m., put on cowboy outfit, turn off cell phone. Cowboys don't need cell phones. 3 p.m., take cowboy nap and cowboy jammies. 5 p.m., cowboy widowing, stock plenty of Band-Aids. Son of 5 p.m., have Laura put on Dr. Quinn medicine woman outfit to treat my cowboy widowing cuts. 9 p.m., sit around cowboy campfire, singe cowboy eyebrows. Help, Dr. Quinn! Wow, that was a mouthful. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So
No, it's cool. I mean, look.
Does he get criticized a lot from the black community? Bill Cosby?
He's getting criticized less and less as he does this more and more. He was criticized pretty roundly in the wake of his remarks at the Brown versus Board of Education. I think it was an NAACP commemoration. And I think the reason for that was because it caught so many people by surprise. Now they see him on a stage. They know he's getting ready to unload.
Yeah.
So he's saying things. I think people are starting to pay closer attention. Jesse Jackson, who was the host of the Rainbow Push Convention, backed what he said. And he said, among other things, quote, "Let me tell you something. Your dirty laundry gets out of school at 2:30 every day. It's cursing and calling each other the N-word as they're walking up and down the street. They think they're hip. They can't read. They can't write. They're laughing and giggling, and they're going nowhere." End quote.
Wow, no real punchline.
No. This was not going for the funny in this particular instance. And, these are things that in many instances do, in fact, need to be said. I sometimes get a little nervous about putting this entirely on the backs of the kids. And I don't think he does that. I mean, I think he really kind of slams the adults in the community. I think the kids, in many instances, need some form of direction that they are not, in fact, getting. They're not getting it at school. They're not getting it at home. They're just not getting it.
And is it still sort of an issue of pop culture, of icons being more rebellious and more outlaw-oriented than because when I was a kid, I still, all my heroes were rock and roll people. And, you just sort of want to, you want to identify with them more than you want to identify with school.
Well, yeah, that's true. I think that there ought to be some definable goals set within the black community. You want to answer Bill Cosby, then let's talk about whether 75% instead of the current 35-40% of the kids in our schools can read and write at grade level. Let's talk about that. If we can do, we don't have to have a mandate from anybody to make that happen. That
right.
can happen from within the community. And that's what Cosby's saying. He may be really blunt about it. He may hurt people's feelings about it, but that's what he's saying.
But a lot of it has to do with parenting. We got Ed in the truck on 95 in Virginia. How are you, Ed?
Hey.
Well, I'm fine. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good, man.
Back to Saddam thing, or Saddam. Should we call him Saddam?
That's a good question.
I don't know what he likes to be called. We can go with Saddam.
Yeah, that's what Daddy Bush liked.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have some polling problems. I think Mr. Bush is going to have a little polling problem. I think ABC did a poll yesterday that 42% of people in Baghdad support Saddam. 45 are, of course, against him.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. That's about
the longer they keep this on trial, I don't know who's doing Saddam's or Saddam's psyops.
Yeah.
But calling this American theater. He was right on.
No, absolutely. It seems like his poll numbers are about the same as Bush's in this country.
Why would you want to take on Saddam and take on Kerry at the same time? Now you've got this fourth party in a foreign country here. So I don't know. I think our government just bungled this whole thing. They should have planted weapons of mass destruction.
They should have planted them?
They should have kept Lule and Cusay. If they're going to be sneaky, watch about what they're doing. They should have carried it out. If you're going to lie and cheat and steal,
go all the way.
Consult with Gotti or somebody.
All right, thanks a lot, Ed. Yeah, that's interesting. He says that because there's so much speculation. If you want to call us 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, is that me being a conspiracy-minded person, you would think that, they had all this stuff planned, but it's starting to look like, things are really out of control. Legitimately out of control. We'll take more of your calls on the other side of this on Air America Radio.
In life, there are well-thought-out choices.
Yeah, I'll go with the six-cylinder.
Radials, absolutely.
Definitely the four-wheel drive.
And there are ill-considered choices.
Oh, I'm not partial. Any grade will do.
Just whatever's the cheapest, okay?
What do you think, Rex?
Fortunately, a lot of people do give some thought to the gasoline they choose. And people who choose premium gasoline choose Amoco Ultimate at BP more often than any other premium fuel. It's America's best-selling premium. With continuous use of Amoco Ultimate, deposits on critical engine parts that can rob a car of performance get cleaned up and stay clean, giving you smooth acceleration, less hesitation, and better fuel economy. And lower deposits means less harmful emissions. That can lead to cleaner air for everyone. So the next time you get ready to choose a premium gasoline,
we'll go with the Rex. Better make that Ultimate.
For more performance and less pollution, choose America's best-selling premium. Amoco Ultimate at BP.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in FA. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Past the hour. What's going on? Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
And I'm on Morning Sedition. This is airamerica.com. There you go.
airamericaradio.com.
I'm doing so many things at once here. 866-303-2270. What we were talking about before, like the Bill Cosby thing, what I want to get to is there's a trend in the black community where you were talking about this once before, where kids in school, you know, sort of get stifled by other kids.
Yeah.
And how does that work? They're just like, you know, they don't.
What I think you're talking about is the idea that some black school children berate other black school children, criticize them, people who spend a lot of time on their, you know, doing their homework and that sort of thing, as trying to, quote, act white, unquote.
Right.
This is not a new thing, okay? I was accused of the same thing when I was a kid, back in the day, Maren.
Yeah, back in the day.
That's right. I used to be accused of the same kind of thing. So it's not new. What may be new about it is that people are, apparently some of these kids are taking it to heart. And folks are reacting to the fact that maybe some kids are acting dumber than they really are because they want to fit in. That's
yeah.
that's the crux of the problem. And I, you know, again, you don't want to paint all kids or all people in any community with a broad brush.
Right.
That's a dangerous kind of thing to do because it overlooks the work that a lot of people are doing in the community.
Right. And that, and you don't want the stereotype to be reinforced. I've got a call here from. What do we got? A trucker? Another trucker? Clarence, how are you?
Hey! Clarence!
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, that's me. Come on, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm out here in California, so I guess I'm all right.
Yeah, that's nice. How are you doing?
Check this out.
Okay.
Just think about Saddam, right? Now, I didn't get to see him yesterday with him coming into court, being defiant and everything. You guys said he looks pretty good?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, check this out. I like that. And I hope he keeps it up because it's going to make it look even more interesting when they take his head off.
Oh wow! When they take
call,
his
Clarence.
Head off, look out, Clarence.
Yeah, it's a okay. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Yeah, it seems like he it's not delusional. I guess it is delusional. It is denial, but in his mind, I mean, he's still the president of Iraq.
Yeah.
And to people that believe in him, he's still the president of Iraq. And he still comes out with a certain amount of dignity around being president. Granted, the guy, you know, is a genocidal maniac. He terrified people. He ruled the country completely like a violent lunatic, tyrant, crazy man. But he did rule the country. And he presented himself yesterday with a certain arrogance and defiance that, you know.
I am president, period.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to see him go down in a way. It's going to be they certainly won't show it on television here. Someone brought up an interesting thing yesterday about televising death, about televising capital punishment.
Yeah.
Is one of the reasons they don't do it, because I thought, you know, maybe mistakenly, that it would draw a tremendous audience. But one of the reasons they don't do it is it would show people the realities, the human reality of execution, and make more people, you know, not believe in the death penalty.
Well, I kind of think that the death penalty in this country can kind of be divided into several different parts. On the one hand, you had a period in this country when hanging, which is I guess you really couldn't argue that it's a pretty brutal way of executing somebody. Well, when hangings were public events, when people really had a measure of bloodlust, not just in this country but all over the world, and people would come from miles and miles around to see someone hang. Then there was the whole idea that hanging was brutal, so people started devising other means. The
right.
electric chair, which began here in New York, the gas chamber, which I believe had its origins in Nevada and then spread out in many of the western states. It was supposed to be a humane way. Then we get to the late 1970s, I guess, and people
lethal injection?
Yeah, that's when lethal injection began to start. Lethal injections, from what I've been given to understand, I've talked to a couple of people who have covered executions.
Yeah.
It's a very anticlimactic sort of thing compared to a hanging, compared to an electrocution.
They sort of drift off. There's no drama to it.
Yeah, there's no drama to it. One minute they're there, they're sitting there, next minute they're gone.
They're going
to
refine it to where they can kill people with just a really bad television show.
Yeah, right? Or with a look. Worse
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, just a word. Die!
Yeah. That's the end of that.
We got Mike in New Jersey. Mike listening to WLIB. What's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. I don't mean to switch gears, but I think the Republican illusion machine is in full progress. Right now, I was on the internet this morning. While they have everybody focused on Saddam and his trial or whatever they call it, there's a very interesting article about the Republicans trying to organize parishioners within churches to
oh,
get
yeah.
the
yeah,
voter
list. We're going to do that next hour. It did not escape our grasp.
Thanks a lot for reminding us, though. We're going to cover this about the Republican National Committee reaching out, so to speak, or infiltrating, I'd like to say, to churches. And we're going to cover that story in a few minutes when we come back. But we want to take a couple more calls. Eric, how are you, Eric?
Hey, Eric.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
All right, man. How you doing?
Real well. Real
good.
Well.
What's up?
You know, I was wondering, you know, they said that they're going to go all the way back to 1968 with Saddam's war crimes. And I was wondering, you know, we sold weapons to Iraq in the 80s.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, I, you know, if they can go back to prosecute him to 1968, the United States would have to be
partially liable.
Yeah, but not only did they sell arms to him, but they supported him in a lot of his undertakings. Yeah, I asked somebody, who was I talking to? I asked Michael Ware about that yesterday, and he said certainly the U.S. could be implicated in quite a bit of his rise to power and his maintaining of power. That's what I don't know about this whole trial. How much are they going to show, and how much of it is really going to implicate George Bush? Could this be a bad thing for him?
Well, you know, Eric hit on something very important. How far back do you go in tracing this man's crimes? Because if you go back too far, then you start, you leave room for one of his 20 lawyers to say, wait a minute, why don't we get Donald Rumsfeld here? Rumsfeld shook hands with Saddam in 83.
We got the picture.
We got the picture. So let's have him testify as to exactly what his role was in any crimes that Saddam may have committed during that time. See, they got to be very careful about how far back they actually go.
And how much you're going to televise. I'm curious to see how this pans out. Stay on the phone, Jay. Stay on the phone, all you guys. We'll be back in a minute, 866-303-2270. We're going to talk about the church story and a lot of other stuff. So come back to Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. Smoke RX has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, Smoke RX is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, Smoke RX starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Do you dread spending another summer in your old, dreary kitchen? Then bring it to dazzling life again with cabinet refacing from Sears Home Services. Call 1-800-448-6600 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save 15% on select styles. Sears Cabinet Refacing can transform your kitchen without the time, expense, or mess of building all new cabinets. In about 4 to 6 days, your old kitchen can have new elegance, just the way you imagine, with your choice of hundreds of decorator styles. Services and materials are provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing at 1-800-448-6600 and save 15% on select styles. Offer ends July 31st. Some restrictions apply. Ask your consultant for offer details and written warranty. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing now at 1-800-448-6600.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here, getting my act together with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Sometimes the Dunkin' Donuts coffee backfires on me. Like, I let it hang out for a little while, and all of a sudden it tastes weird, and then, like, my thoughts start to break apart, and I start to say, you know, a lot, and then I start to get fragmented on my worldview, and then I start to believe that Dunkin' Donuts is all part of it. It's part of it. It's part of the big conspiracy. Jay, talk to me from Dallas. Jay!
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good, man. What's going on?
Well, I just don't think... I think I don't want you to give up your conspiracy theory. I think Bush is going to plan, and it's been planned that we're going to have to watch old Sodom come back into power.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh.
That would be mind-blowing, buddy. I mean, if you're right, that would blow my mind. So you're going to say that they're going to navigate this thing, they're going to keep building his popularity again and let whatever civil war sort of fester and unfold and then place him back into power?
I think Sodom knows that, too. That's why he calls it the Bush Theater.
So he knows he's a puppet in the big play.
Hey, he's been a puppet for 30 years. Don't leave it out. I mean, they're putting him back because they know the people are afraid of this man, and they're not going to kill him. They're not going to do it. And I believe that it's going to be turned back over to the United States, but they're going to release him. I believe they're going to get him out of
there. Oh, my God. That's an amazing. You're blowing my mind, dude.
Free Saddam.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for filling my head with that.
That's scary.
Well, I've got some campaign slogans, you know. Saddam campaign slogans for the upcoming election.
Uh-oh.
Saddam, 4 more years for starters. Saddam, building a bridge to the 19th century. Vote for me. I'm not asking. Vote for Saddam. Leadership now, democracy later. Speaking about campaigns, Kerry's campaign is kicking up the cash.
He's racking. I mean, he's gotten up to $180 million, $34 million in the last month alone. Most of them have come since he's become the Democratic frontrunner back in March. And, you know, this, if you go back to December 2003, now think about this. December 2003 was the same time they caught Saddam, all right? Well, in December 2003, John Kerry had to take out a $6.4 million personal loan to keep his campaign afloat. How things have changed.
Unbelievable. There's a lot of faith. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of money coming Kerry's way. He's got a shot. It's good news. Good news.
$56 million over the Internet, $12.5 million over the Internet in the month of June alone.
That's unbelievable. And most of it from the Internet, right?
Yeah. And see, again.
Did you just say that?
No, I said, well, yeah, $56 million over the Internet. But see, here's the interesting thing, Mark. This is a sign that people believe he can win. This is where the polling comes in. People want to know, well, why do people take all these polls? Why do people? Because this is how people end up raising money. When people believe that a John Kerry, an insurgent, can beat an incumbent, the money starts coming, and that's what's happening. It's starting to roll his way.
I think it's good news, and if he picks John Edwards as his running mate, like, although I think John Edwards is a little green, he certainly fits the bill. You know what I mean? I think he, you know, the gals like him.
Bill
he
Richardson
seems to have his
just,
heart in the right place.
Right? Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico,
said, "See ya."
Yeah, he pulled out.
He didn't want
the job. Now he would have been the first Latino, although his name is Richardson, the first Latino vice presidential candidate.
Well, you know what that is. That's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound for today.
Uh-oh.
Here are your marching orders. Here, write these down, will you? 1, petition manufacturers to produce nonviolent fireworks. 2, celebrate Independence Day by giving housekeeper a half day off. 3, pay for special Jumbotron message at Yankee Stadium thanking New Yorkers for booing Cheney last week. There you go. 4, ask Congress to protect Dr. Octopus under the Endangered Species Act.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, look at our producer likes that one. It's all funny geek reference. All right, 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, founding fathers, screw that. What about the founding mothers? There you go. Thank you for calling. Call back next hour if you want. Sorry we didn't get to you.
I'm sorry we didn't get to Ellie because Ellie said that Bill Cosby was no blacker than O.J.
Wow, we should address that.
I wonder which one.
Which O.J.?
No, who's blacker, Bill or O.J.? In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Bush aims for churches. Mark Maron's Dream Diary Plus from Unbrand America, Tim Walker. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Welcome to What's on My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D batteries?
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get diarrhea on foreign vacations. Imodium works often in one dose.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
TV chitters?
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AV. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
Hey, it's summertime, all right. And all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein had another 15 minutes of fame yesterday as he appeared before an Iraqi judge for his for the first in what is expected to be a series of legal proceedings for alleged war crimes. The deposed Iraqi leader called whole session a theater and part of President Bush's re-election effort. This morning, there are some in the American legal community thinking that Saddam may be onto something there. Many are questioning why this international figure was never brought before the world court. After his capture, the U.S. government does not recognize the court. Those in the legal community here also feel the U.S. also faces charges in the court because of the scandalous prisoner abuse issue. Still others question Iraqi law, charging their legal process as nothing more than a Bush White House orchestration. Reaction abounds over the sight of Saddam Hussein on television screens, handcuffed and brought before an Iraqi judge in Baghdad. There's been mixed reaction from the average Iraqi. Some are looking forward to seeing more of the legal proceedings, but others were in a state of shock. Many of those were in his loyal supporters who cried at the sight of their once powerful leader reduced to a common criminal, that is. Vice President Dick Cheney remains on the campaign trail, telling an audience in New Orleans yesterday that there is a link between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. Cheney has been facing a round of criticism for making the charge, in spite of a finding by a nonpartisan investigative commission showing no evidence. Cheney appeared yesterday just as passionate on the issue like he was a week ago, proudly delivering expletives on the Senate floor to Senate Leader Patrick Leahy.
When we took office, Saddam Hussein was providing financial rewards to the families of suicide bombers in Israel, and safe haven and support for terrorists and terror groups such as Abu Nidal, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Abu Abbas, the mastermind of the 1985 hijacking of the Achilles Laurel. Saddam's regime also had long-established ties with al-Qaeda.
Vice President Dick Cheney in a speech before the D-Day Museum in New Orleans yesterday. President Bush is wasting no time going after religious conservatives for his re-election campaign. He has asked church-going volunteers to turn over church membership directories. This according to campaign officials. The action has already gotten the attention of civil libertarians who charge the move as a potential violation of the U.S. Constitution. The Bush-Cheney campaign has issued a guide for listing about two dozen duties and a series of deadlines for organizing and support among conservative church congregations. Copy of the guide directs religious volunteers to send church directories to state campaign committees, identify new churches that can be organized by the Bush campaign, and talk to clergy about holding voter registration drives. And Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry wants to be the second president in the nation's history of the Catholic faith. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was first, and while Kennedy reassured his voters that he would not let his religion rule his presidency, there are some who contend Kerry is not religious enough.
In financial markets today,
the Dow is up, the Nasdaq is down.
Wall Street today,
this is the sound of what's running our world, the corporations.
Within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species.
We just paid $3 billion for these television stations. The news is what we say it is.
Now there's The Corporation, an acclaimed award-winning documentary set to explode in theaters across the country. The San Francisco Bay Guardian calls it brilliant, hilarious, and chilling. The Economist says people on both sides of the globalization debate should pay attention. See The Corporation. You can't afford to miss it.
I'm convinced that a few people are going to leave this movie theater and go and do something, anything, to get this world back in our hands.
The Corporation, a Zeitgeist Films release. Now playing at New York's Film Forum. Visit thecorporation.com.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of French's Mustard, and we wanted to come up with a great way to celebrate this exciting milestone. So we thought, what if we sell commemorative 100-pound bottles of French's?
Ah, my foot!
But we decided to give away $100,000 instead. Just buy any French's Mustard and you could win $100,000.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. $100,000 drawing will be held on 9/20/04. U.S. resident 18 or older. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or FrenchesFoods.com for details.
French's. It tastes that great.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
So what else is news?
Despite the plan to spend millions on pay TV spots, what if TV time for political candidates were always free? Campaigns wouldn't need to accept contributions from corporate and special interests. Instead, they could spend that $200 million on, say, food for hungry children or vaccinations.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
And you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, the end times continue. What can you do to put your mark on Independence Day? Plus, my post-therapy dream diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 5, and who will be Mark Riley's Dog of the Week? That's all coming up right now. I've got the Mark Riley in the studio from back in the day.
Hey!
Mark Riley from back in the day. So after I do Colin's show, after I do Tough Crowd last night, I get on the train, the end train. I go back to Astoria, I get off of the train, and there is a party in the streets, man. There are Greek flags everywhere. SUVs are driving around honking their horns. Greek flags, four or five, tied to the SUV, flapping down the street, people jumping, and I'm like, what happened?
They took Cyprus. No.
It was a soccer thing, man.
Yeah, I know.
I'm walking down the street, I'm talking to my wife on the phone, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, I've not seen this kind of mania, and someone goes, Greece is won! They have never won before. They have won. It's Greece and Portugal. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So they are going nuts in Astoria.
Well, they're going nuts in Greek communities all over America and all over the world. Greece has not had a serious soccer team in a long time. They've had some really good individual players, but not a really serious soccer team when it comes to European competition. We are now headed into the final on Sunday of Euro 2004, which is the European Championships. All of the major teams got knocked out before the semifinals. All the Englands, the Frances, the Germanys, the teams everybody thought were going to win. So the host team, Portugal, after losing an early match, has gone forward, and they're in the final. And I really thought the Czech Republic, who had been undefeated up until now, would beat the Greeks yesterday in their dream season. Greece won 1-0. They will be playing Portugal in the final. This is as unlikely a Euro 2004 final as anybody's
seen. People are going nuts, man. Yeah. I mean, it's like the story is great because it's completely European. There's all these cafes that were just packed with people, you know, at odd hours of the day, shouting and screaming. And it's always interesting because there was all this sort of like partying Greeks, and then of course they're like families in burqas, you know, in complete Muslim gear, sort of, you know, walking down the street, you know, not even aware of what was going on.
Well, they didn't qualify for Euro 2004. I was around in 1994, God help me, 10 years ago. Back in the day, man.
Yeah,
back when Brazil won the World Cup.
But not back in the day.
No.
Just back in the day.
In the day.
Yeah.
Well, Brazil won the World Cup. I happened to be in Midtown Manhattan, and you know,
I remember that. That was crazy in Astoria, too.
Brazilians everywhere. And see, the thing is, there's a strip in Midtown Manhattan, for those of you who don't live in New York, there are a bunch of Brazilian restaurants, right?
Uh-huh.
I happened to be in that general area right after Brazil won the World Cup. You heard these drums coming from everywhere. You know, samba drums. Yeah, I mean, from everywhere. Next thing you know, cars coming down. People were piling in from Queens, from Jersey. This is a soccer-mad place. It may be the only soccer-mad place in America.
Yeah, well, I guess because there's such a huge international community, certainly out in Queens.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Americans, well, they don't score enough goals. It's too boring.
Oh, so I got to get on a plane in a couple hours. Yeah. You know, and I'm not, like, I've had those fears like I do on the train,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the terror alert is not, they're not changing the color, but they've told us, man, listen to this, they released a press release about the FBI bulletin repeated for local authorities. They previously released a list of indicators often associated with suicide bombing attacks overseas. They include irregular, loose-fitting clothing, not appropriate for warm weather, possibly with protruding bulges or exposed wires, or a noticeable chemical odor. So,
really?
You know, if you might mistake a speed freak with a Walkman for a terrorist. But,
terrorist, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't, like, it's too vague. Sweating, mumbling, or unusually calm and detached behavior. Well, that's me. But in addition, people refuse to show their hands, possibly to conceal a detonator, disguises, including military, police, medical, or firefighter uniforms. Then I guess I can't wear the doctor's outfit anymore because now I'm a terrorist.
Hey, man, it sounds like half the kids will be getting out of summer school in the high school just below us here.
Yeah, larger, heavy baggage not appropriate for a location, such as a big duffel bag carried into a restaurant. Have they ever been to New York?
I don't think so.
What world does this apply to? But, yesterday I had the big fantasies in my head. Like, I'm on the airplane, right? All of a sudden, two dudes get up. They're going to go for the cabin, right? I trip them. Bam! Get them in the lock. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got them. Somebody help me out. Get my back, right? So I save the day. And it's like in the cover of the Post, liberal talk show host saves world again. You know? And everybody's happy. And then we get great publicity for Air America, and we become the number 25 show in America. The number 25 morning show, as opposed to the 27th.
Or the 28th,
I'm
right?
kidding. I'm kidding. We're like number 419 or something. I'm kidding. Something We're like number two. In our market, we have listeners. You know, yes. Many of them are listening now. You
yes.
know, some of them are dedicated, loyal listeners.
Yes.
We know most of them. There's seven or eight that we know of in this city alone.
Brilliant.
We have several truck drivers who seem to enjoy listening to us. We have Gina in Philly. We have someone in England. We got a call from Sweden.
Don't forget Skeeter in Vermont.
Skeeter in Vermont's our buddy. We got people. Omar in Westchester.
That's right.
We've got people. We have got people out there in the world listening to Air America, supporting us
in our
journey to be your breakfast choice.
And we thank you,
yes,
all of
do.
You, especially the truckers and especially those who are listening on satellite or streaming. And then we thank the people that are listening on our various affiliates across the country. Mark Maron.
Yes.
Bush and Cheney. They're stopping at nothing.
Can you believe these guys?
At absolutely nothing. I should say that better.
They're sending their stooges out to churches
yep.
to coerce them.
Don't send them to my church. Please don't send them to my church. They will be run out on a rail. All right? And I'll do it personally.
They're trying to make them an offer they can't refuse. We'll cover it, you know, after this, after we come back. We got other stuff, too. We got, of course, the liberal agenda, the dream diary. We've got good guests. We've got a guy coming from Adbusters magazine,
yeah.
which actually changed my life, that magazine. So stay with us. Air America Radio.
Do you know that seven companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
My life was on the line and they saved it. Thank God for Life Alert. I owe my life to it.
Senior citizens can live feeling protected at home rather than facing a retirement institution. Life Alert provides constant monitoring protection, which allows independent living in the comfort of home. For a free brochure, call 1-800-588-3133.
The first time I fell in that bedroom, and I couldn't reach the phone, and I realized that I had to do something, take better care of myself. Life Alert is there when I need them, and I feel I can depend on them.
If a senior has an emergency, help is immediately available at the touch of a button, even if the senior can't reach a phone. Life Alert Monitoring Center is on the line and links to local police, fire, and paramedics. For a free brochure that lists all the services and assistance available with Life Alert, call 1-800-588-3133 today. That's 1-800-588-3133. 1-800-588-3133.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab personal choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Sixteen past the hour, Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition on Air America.
Good morning.
Radio. Good morning, Mark. Yesterday I went to the therapist. I was depressed. I felt better after I did Colin Quinn Show. Sometimes I get consumed with a, you know, it's weird. It's very hard to tell the difference between a couple of things. Sometimes it's hard to tell. The only difference really between like depression and disappointment, I believe, is your commitment. You know, and sometimes
to both.
Well, no, I mean, I think that sometimes depression can come if you allow yourself to, you know, commit to disappointment, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe also that sometimes dread, you know, looks like anxiety and depression. But today I feel better, and I got a new dream. I got a dream for today. I dumped all my dreams on my therapist yesterday, and here's the pre-4th of July dream from last night. It's sunny and hot, and people are eating. Oh, wait a minute. Start at the beginning. I'm in a perfect little small town watching a 4th of July parade with my dead cat, Butch. It's sunny and hot, and people are eating raspberry snow cones. By us pass marching bands sweating in their wool uniforms, and Little League teams, and local beauty queens who just got their braces off, and floats sponsored by hardware stores, and twirlers with their sparkly unitards, and Shriners in their amazingly stupid little cars, and veterans holding hands with kids, and the flag, lots of the flag. I look down at Butch, who is cheering and clapping her little cat paws, and I say, "What are you doing?" Butch says, "Witness the miracle before you, Mark. The American spirit unleashed. Doesn't it make your chest swell with patriotism?" I say, "I'd like to, but I really can't. There's so much in this country that needs fixing. Parades are nice, but they don't solve anything." Butch gives me that pitying look. "Do they not?" "My friend, not all of life is struggle and blame. We need parades, too. As Rousseau said, do we wish to make men virtuous? Then let us begin by making them love their country." I watched Butch trot down an alley and start licking herself. I turned around just in time to be trampled by the marching band, sweating in their uniforms, stomped by Little League teams, spit on by the local beauty queens who just got their braces off, crushed by floats sponsored by hardware stores, kicked in the gonads by twirlers with their sparkly unitards, and run over by Shriners in their amazingly stupid little cars. I'm laying in the middle of Main Street, bruised and bloody. 3 days later, Butch trots over and licks me in the face. "I tried to tell you," she says. Then she wraps me in a flag and drags me home. I woke up and my bed was filled with bottle rockets. Butchie! Butchie is back!
Be careful of those high leg kicks from the twirlers.
I know. Well, you know, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, right?
Look at this. There's a press release to the national desk to any religion reporter, the Interfaith Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, today, the Interfaith Alliance issued a strong warning to churches and to other religious organizations that an initiative by the Bush-Cheney campaign could possibly lure them into jeopardizing their tax-exempt status violating privacy laws, diminishing the positive role of religion, and dividing congregations along political lines. What do you think of that? What are they doing?
What they're doing is trying desperately to win this election. They are going, I think, further than they know they can go in reaching out to these congregations. They want congregations to, among other things, turn over church directories to the campaign.
That sounds almost coercive and strangely fascistic.
Yeah. Distribute issue guides. Yeah. In other words, here, congregation member so-and-so, this is what the issue. And see, what they're doing is counting on these church pastors to put their own stamp of approval on these guides.
For the kickback. For the kickback. They're saying, hey, pastor, come here. Dude, if you can deliver us, like, you know, at least two-thirds of your congregation, we'll give you a little bit of that faith-based initiative, Jack.
That's right.
What do you think of that? That's coming your way. You could use a little of that, huh?
Yeah,
huh?
And we'll get it to you before November, we promise.
Buy the old lady something cheesy.
Yay. And they're also trying to persuade pastors to hold voter registration initiatives, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that there is a line that you can draw where you say to people, you need to register and vote. We don't have to tell you who to vote for. That's up to you. But you need to register and you need to come out to vote. I don't think that violates it. But when you start talking about turning over church directions, that, first of all, that's a violation of the privacy of the congregants. Not everybody, you know, I would be highly upset if my church turned over my name to any candidate. I don't care who it is.
But what's also frightening, just, you know, on some level, all right, you can believe whatever you believe. I have no problem with that. But it exploits the control that some of these ministers, some of these pastors have over their congregations. I mean, you know, the pastor, the minister, the preacher, whoever it is, the priest, whoever is in charge of the congregation, the religious leader, has a lot of power over the psyche and philosophy of the people of his congregation.
Absolutely.
So if they sell their congregation out, I mean, it's almost abusive for a minister or a congregation leader to start planting this stuff in people's heads without saying that, you know, it's up to you. I feel this way because of my beliefs. Maybe, you know, you should think about this. But to actually promote a political figure and plant it in their heads and tell them that it's the right thing to do, it's I think it's horrendous.
Well, what you're also dealing with here, Mark, are churches, and not so much necessarily in the northeast part of the country, but certainly in the south and out in the southwest. These are churches with gigantic congregations. You know, in New York, if you have 5,000 people in your congregation, that's a gigantic church.
These are the guys they're counting on. This is Karl Rove's big ace in the hole.
Yeah. You go out to Texas, you go out to Oklahoma, you go out to some of these, they've got 10,000 people in their churches every week. I mean, you know, I see some of these guys, the televangelists that are on TV, like Frederick K. Price, for example, a well-known black televangelist. He's got a stadium full of people he's, like, you know, he's preaching to every week. I don't think many of the black church people will go for this. But I do know that there are enough people in the country who, in all likelihood, support this president to go for this, even if they do it on the DL. I mean, they may not do it overtly because there is, as you pointed out,
a kickback.
Well, a kickback and a warning from the Interfaith Alliance that you may be violating your tax-exempt status.
Yeah, let me quote this, guys. This is a Reverend Dr. Welton Gaddy, president of the Interfaith Alliance, who also serves as pastor for preaching and worship at Northminster Church in Monroe, Louisiana. As the pastor of a local congregation, if I found out that my church membership directory was shared with a campaign or political party, I would begin immediate legal action against the campaign or political party. That's pretty heavy word. This is totally inappropriate, he said. I'm frankly concerned that an administration that has talked so eloquently about the importance of houses of worship would be willing to intrude on the sanctity of houses of worship and compromise them in some ways by seeking to turn them into political organizations. We are alarmed that this initiative by the Bush-Cheney campaign could lure religious organizations and religious leaders into dangerous territory where they risk losing their tax-exempt status and could be violating the law. But even worse, they are leading religious leaders into the temptation of forfeiting the prophetic voice of religion by making it political, by exploiting their congregation, by delivering the message of the Bush-Cheney campaign, you know, without giving the... Of course, everyone has free choice, but let's not underestimate the power that some religious leaders have over their congregation. I'm not going to criticize right now, you know, anyone's belief system, you know, but some people don't even see, you know, the news. They don't see reality. The only place they get their information is from their church leader, from their church organization, or from members of their church. And this is very narrow and you know, sort of, I'm not going to say delusional, but uninformed way to go through life. I mean, these are people that might still believe. Yeah, there's some people in this world that are like, you know, I think Saddam did the 9/11. You know what I mean? I didn't mean to use that accent. I could use any accent. I think Saddam did 9/11. But either way, it's stupid.
That's
and not
better.
True. You know, and I think that these guys, you know, are misleading people. And you have to be very careful of this stuff. And I'm saying this is a warning even to pastors and congregation leaders.
Mm. Well, you know, they're saying that they have specific duties to be performed by specific dates. For example, by the end of July, July 31st, volunteers are to send your church directory to your state Bush-Cheney 04 headquarters or give it to a BC 04 field rep. And talk to your pastor about holding a Citizenship Sunday and voter registration drive. By August 15th, talk to your church's seniors or 20 to 30-something group about Bush-Cheney 04 and recruit five more people in your church to volunteer for the campaign. By September 17th, host at least two campaign-related potluck dinners with church members. Whoa.
Yeah.
This is deep.
Yeah.
Potluck dinners?
They're bringing dinner into it.
Well, I mean, you know, because that's what churches do. Churches live on their stomachs. You know, my pastor said to me when I first joined the church, said, look, we live on our stomachs here. Our events are always involve food. So two potluck dinners. What else are they supposed to do here? Partridge in a pear tree. Finish calling all pro-Bush members of your church. Finish voter guides in your church. Place notices on church bulletin boards or in Sunday programs about all Christian citizens needing to vote.
This has been brought to you by the Bush-Cheney campaign, ordained by God himself. Glenn in Long Island. Glenn?
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing?
All right.
What's up?
Well, this is nothing new because I questioned members of an evangelical church before the 2000 election, and when I asked about their support, the response was simply, he's God's man, because there was endorsements from the pulpit. And,
that's ridiculous.
And pushed through the church.
Aren't they? It's so simple and ridiculous. It's so simple and ridiculous that they believe that he's God's man. Why? Because he said he was?
Well, you know,
you know what? Hey, guess what? Hey, I just want to tell everybody out there, God has chosen me to be the host of this show.
Well, here's what the IRS, our good friends at the Internal Revenue, say about this, okay? And they send out a letter to both Republican and Democratic National
Committee. Are they speaking for God, the IRS? Or?
No, they're speaking for themselves.
Okay.
And they're speaking for the people that take the money out of the collective pocket.
Yeah.
On June 10th, they said, and I quote, tax-exempt charitable groups are, quote, prohibited from directly or indirectly participating or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. Various religious organizations can sponsor debates, distribute voter guides, conduct voter registration drives. But if those efforts show, quote, a preference for or against a certain candidate or party, it becomes a prohibited activity. Now, how somebody from Bush-Cheney can say that they can do what they're talking about within the letter of that law is absolutely beyond me. Because it seems to me that the revenuers are pretty clear.
They're trying. It's one of those weird sort of gray areas that, because the only way they can prove this stuff is if the pastor is willing to, you know, say that he did it. You know, it's a vague thing.
Sing like Pavarotti.
Yeah, I mean, if they got hold, if they got hold of one of these, congregant membership lists from one of the congregants, and it wasn't given to them by the pastor, if they did it to other means, you know, they could be off the hook. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this, but it's the evil of Karl Rove. This is really his ace in the hole. I mean, he couldn't link Bush to the Reagan legacy because Bush is too stupid, you know, and he couldn't, you know, he's had a lot of failures in how they're, you know, this campaign is going. They couldn't make John Kerry look like an un-American person. They couldn't make him look like a flip-flopper. Now the only thing they can really do is say he's pessimistic, which is obvious. Why wouldn't we be pessimistic? Mm-hmm. And now, like, this is his ace in the hole, is he's banking on these millions and millions of evangelical Christians that are, you know, are narrow enough to believe that this president is speaking for God.
Let me tell you something. I believe there are enough Christians who think otherwise.
Absolutely.
To negate all of this foolishness. Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, plus Tim Walker from Unbrand America and my very own Dog of the Week. This is Air America Radio.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee, we listen. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The New York Times says Saddam Hussein has coughed up a little in the way of information on his program for weapons of mass destruction and other critical issues in the 7 months he's been under the jurisdiction of the U.S. military. Some of the American legal community are siding with Saddam Hussein with respect to yesterday's hearing being theater at a Bush campaign booth. They question why he was not brought before the International Criminal Court and question Iraqi law. President Bush yesterday marked the 40th anniversary of the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, declaring more must be done to end discrimination. His Democratic political opponent, John Kerry, says what must be done is remove Bush from the White House. Kerry's campaign says Bush's judicial appointments have turned the clock back. And legendary comedian and educator Bill Cosby has again appealed to the black family, and particularly black men, to drop the slang and the cursing and become good role models for their children. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress, but you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
Hi, this is Al Franken. You know, these days it's pretty easy to think outside of the box. It seems like everywhere you look or listen, someone is expressing an opinion that contradicts the conventional wisdom. But there is a downside. We've lost the view from inside the box. Anyway, on my show, The Al Franken Factor, what we've done is build an entirely new box. That's where we're coming from. From inside a completely new box.
Al Franken on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hey.
I'm very excited to talk to our guest. I have been reading Adbusters magazine for years. The first time I saw it, I can't even remember how many years ago it was, but it was in the first year of its publication, and it blew my mind. So if you're not hip to Adbusters, you should get hip to Adbusters. And Tim Walker is the campaign manager for Adbuster Magazine's Unbrand America campaign. Tim Walker, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How's it going?
How
Pretty
you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for waking up.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the great plug there.
Yeah, I've been reading the magazine for years, and I don't know if a lot of people know about it. It's certainly been looking great. And why don't you just sum up briefly the primary agenda of Adbusters magazine, and then tell us a little bit about the Unbrand America campaign.
Sure. Adbusters magazine is a product of Adbusters Media Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We're a lot of things on the Internet. We're a loose global activist network. The magazine started back in 1989. It's sort of a new kind of commercial free, exclusively reader-supported media. And our mission is basically a total rethink of our unsustainable course, the corporate power structures. We try to use some new tools for activism for the information age, like culture jamming and social marketing.
Explain culture jamming for those of us who those of our listeners who might not know.
Sure. Culture jamming is basically a way of turning the sort of slick corporate communication tools back on themselves. So if you have a nice slick message telling you about beauty or telling you about what you think makes you smart or what you think makes you cool, then it's the culture jammer's job to take that message and spin it around back on the commercial suppliers.
So we can see
it's
through
the billboard liberation. It's the changing of logos.
So, right, so some guerrilla billboarding and some shifting of, making fun of existing brand logos so people understand, the sort of proliferation of corporate symbols and ideology in America and the world.
It's great. It's great. And it's right across the board. It's an amazing number of things that come out of a simple word like culture jamming. People just take it on themselves and do tons of great stuff with it.
Right. You've done the Buy Nothing campaign day, right? Wasn't
that? That's a big one for us. That attracts just millions of people around the world every year.
Where everybody doesn't buy anything for an entire day.
Sure, they take a day off from the 24 hours.
As a symbolic protest. Now, talk to me about the Unbrand America campaign. There's a flag. It's taking place this weekend. Why don't you explain about that?
All right. A couple days ago, we've officially launched the Unbrand America campaign. We've been raising money for about a month, I guess, to get an ad in the New York Times. And what it is it's an American flag, but instead of stars, we've replaced them with logos, with corporate logos.
Right.
I guess the main thing is this is an important symbol for people on the Day of Independence. We want people to know that there's maybe a new kind of independence that we need to declare, and that's from corporate rule.
Okay, now where can people get the flag? Where can they see it right now? We'll put it up on our website and our blog and everything.
That's great. Yeah, right now the place you see it, if you head to unbrandamerica.org, which is just sort of a sub-website off of Adbusters.
Yeah.
We've actually got the flag for sale at cost, so you can order it that way. We also have stickers and posters that you can download for free and put up there. And basically what we're trying to do, a couple of different things.
Okay.
I guess the first one is Unbrand America is sort of a big picture project. It's part of a much larger movement that I think most of us know about. It's sort of, the one that shows up at the WTO and IMF meetings.
Right, right, right.
Holds the World Social Forum, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the one thing I guess that this movement is sure about is we agree that corporations should have a lot less privilege in society, the power to influence politics, to make our culture, to run our media, to educate us,
right.
The power over our health. And that it should have a check, and especially in America, which has become a model for so many other countries, right?
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, too, because, I fight with this stuff, too. I wrote a book a while back called Jerusalem Syndrome that really talked about the infiltration of corporate ideology and symbols into the most primitive parts of our brain to the point where a lot of people are loyal and actually, subconsciously worship corporations. I mean, there has to be corporations. We have to coexist with them on some level. I mean, you have a cell phone, don't you?
I don't, but I have a lot of corporate stuff. I'm looking at an Apple computer right now.
So, what determines, which ones, obviously which ones are bad, that's clear. The ones that, exploit people, that, cause death, that work against humanity. But there are good corporations, yes, on some level?
Sure, and I don't think that the single corporations is particularly what matters. Like, sure, we have, 30-odd corporations up on our flag there right now, but the symbols themselves are, I don't know, they're not specifically important. If we were to take Halliburton and destroy it tomorrow, the unsustainable system that we're in, the problems that we face, wouldn't suddenly disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But this is a problem of the sort of free reign that we've given them.
Mm-hmm.
That the fact that they can just trample and do about whatever they want.
So you're saying that corporations should raise awareness of the horrors of corporations and make them responsible, take responsibility for their actions, and also have to abide by certain environmental and social and civil laws.
Sure, I think it's just amazing what's happened to them over the years, and the fact that there's so little control citizen wise. If citizens don't want a corporation around, there's not a whole lot we can do. If legislators aren't going to put any rules in there for us to have any control over them. You know, we're at their whim, and that doesn't, it's not the way it needs to be. It's certainly not the way I think most people want it to be. So, yeah, we're trying to push that issue into the mainstream.
Well, that's great. I certainly love the magazine. Is that adbusters.org?
Yep.
Adbusters.org, and then you have the unbrandamerica.org, which is a sub-site of the Adbusters site. Thank you for joining us, Tim Walker. It was great talking to you.
Thanks,
oh,
Tim.
Okay, great.
Take care.
Good, go back to sleep. I love this. You know, I really love this magazine because as the years have gone on, they've put in a lot more into their art budget, and it's thematically the same, you know, a lot of times. I think it's monthly, but they really do some great artwork, and they do their messages. Is true and it's a great magazine. I really recommend it. So I guess what happens now? We come back.
We'll be back.
We're going to talk about the GOP protest. We've got some protesting ideas, and also I want to take some calls about some of that church stuff.
Yeah.
Air America Radio.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? Get out of debt and get on with your life. Call 1-800-676-9541. Been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Learn how to get out of debt and get on with your life. Call for Care One Credit Counseling Services at 1-800-676-9541. In just one call, you can find out how quickly your debt can be paid in full. People who call for Care One Services save an average of 30% in payments every month. Some can save up to 57%. The credit counseling agencies that give you Care One services are nonprofit. They work with voluntary contributions. So if you're ready to get out of debt and get on with your life, call now for your free consultation and debt analysis. Call for Care One Credit Counseling Services at 1-800-676-9541. That's 1-800-676-9541.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. If you're part of a congregation, a religious congregation that you feel has been leaning towards Bush collectively, like the congregation leader has been, you know, moving people towards Bush, I'd like to hear about it. If you wouldn't mind calling me, I don't know if you heard us talking about it earlier, but if you feel that's happening in your church or religious organization, mosque or synagogue, I'd just like to know about it. 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We'll take your calls. I'm going to do right now. our Birth of a Nation segment. Since the handover of power, we've been exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraqi Birth of a Nation, Day 5. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning to you, too. Good going. You made it to Day 5. Keep up the good work. No matter how great your new democracy is, and it is, isn't it? Yes. There will always be a few hardliners who don't want to move on. Which brings us to Saddam. Yes, yes. I know some of you, and we know who you are, would like to have him back. I know he'd like to be back. But all you loyalists out there, put down the guns. Put him down. You're not getting him back. Besides, in a week, he won't be much good to anybody. Yeah, yeah, we know Saddam was popular, charismatic. It's kind of fun watching them all pissed off in the courtroom. Sure, you could take him back, but where would that get you? I mean, what would happen if the U.S. took Bill Clinton back? All right, bad example. But here's the thing about democracy. It doesn't stand still. You guys have been spinning your wheels in the sand for years. Time to shift to another gear. And if you don't like your leaders, the first tenet of democracy is there's always more of you than there are of them. Yes, yes, yes. All right, this is Day 5 in Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Wow. Wait, hey, look at that. We've got some calls, and then we'll do the convention stuff. Tom mm-hmm. in Texas, listening to Sirius. How are you?
Okay, how y'all doing?
Pretty good.
The statement, I guess, I wanted to make was that when I was in the Army at Fort Bragg mm-hmm. in 92, I went to church there. I am a Christian. But there was a gentleman from another church that came and spoke to us during the election of Clinton and Bush.
Wow.
And he made us feel like, and he told us that a vote for Bill Clinton would be a vote for Satan.
Wow.
He said that you would have to question your faith as a Christian if you didn't vote for George Bush.
Wow.
This is Bush the father, right?
Right.
This is Poppy.
Right. And luckily, there was another member of the church. He was a special forces guy, Green Beret. Uh-huh. He stood up and he told the guy, you know, you can't legislate the morality. You can't come and tell us how to vote or who we should vote for, because if we're true Christians, we believe that God places the person over a nation regardless of who he is.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that George Bush, and what he's saying, that God wants me to be president, I would say that that's incorrect, because he would want to run away from that responsibility if God ever came to him with that.
Yeah.
Pastors should. You should never strive to be a pastor.
Right.
That's a calling that God says you're going to do it. I don't care what.
Right. Well, thanks for your call, Tom. That's some interesting stuff. I mean, that this type of campaigning was being done.
That must have been
an incredible moment for a couple of military guys to be in a congregation, and a Green Beret stands up and says, whoa, dude. You can't politicize this. I mean, that must have been powerful. And now, see, apparently Karl Rove really believes that there's, you know, quite a few million evangelicals that didn't vote in the last election, 4 million to be exact.
Yeah.
And he's dead set on getting them no matter what, if he has to pay off the pastors through the faith-based initiative. This is some demonic campaign tactics, my friends. Okay, we've got Isa in New York listening on LIB. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Issa.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm really concerned about with this is that he's putting a call out to Christians,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is, you know, consistent with his position, because when he was governor of Texas, he had Jesus Day.
Yeah.
So I think that in addition to how horrendous this is what he's doing, that he's also ignoring a large portion of the population that's not Christian, and I think he's sending out a very subtle message that's very anti-Semitic, anti-every other religion, and I think we have to be really concerned about this guy, because I think he's really, really dangerous.
I'm completely with you. Thanks for your call. I mean,
she brings up something interesting. What are people in Iraq supposed to think? If they find out that George W. Bush is reaching out to Christians, and they're not Christians.
What did this guy's a shameless theocratite. Can I call him that? That he wants, it's not a word, but a theocrat. I mean, clearly they not only pander to Christians, but they actually have inserted, you know, evangelical Christians into the administration on the Food and Drug Administration level. They're seeping into the public school, the school boards. I mean, and I'm not saying like seeping, I'm saying like it's some sort of like pollutant, but on some level to have selective morality and to move towards a theocratic Christian state is anti-democratic. And I think what she's saying is absolutely right. And I think Jews and Muslims should see it as that. They should see it as an insult, and they should vote against him. I think Christians, if they're real Christians and their beliefs are in the right place, should vote against George Bush. Tom is a minister. How are you, Tom?
Hi. Actually, I'm not a minister.
Oh, okay.
But I work for the Salvation Army.
Okay.
Ah.
And the minister here is actually very pro-Bush.
Mm-hmm. To the point of what? To what degree?
Well, in the chapel, he tells all the people who are, like, trying to get off drugs and everything, he tells them that they should be voting for Bush. The exact quote he uses is that you should vote with your head and not your heart.
Yeah, that's a really good time for people to really understand things logically when they're shaking and withdrawing from, you know, drugs, when they're sweating in their sort of weird delusional tremors.
Can you imagine that, you know, you want to dry out, vote for Bush? What in the world is that?
That's devious, Tom. Thanks for your call. That's unbelievable. You're sitting there withdrawing. You're seeing your own demons.
Yeah.
And now you have a minister saying, believe in God, vote for Bush. Vote for Bush. And they're going, Satan, is that you, Satan? No, it's not Satan. Can I have some heroin, please? We'll be back after this. Stay with us. Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Mountaineer and sailor Scott Graham is taking Bullfrog to Mount Everest.
Yep, I would say that Everest is probably the most extreme solar environment on the planet. I like to start the day with Bullfrog and know that I'm protected.
Which Bullfrog do you like?
Well, for climbing, I like the Super Block lotion. It's got a really high 45 SPF. For sailing, I like the Quick Gel. It is truly waterproof and sweatproof, and it dries really fast.
No ordinary sunblock can deliver the all-day waterproof protection of Bullfrog. It's the ultimate waterproof sunblock. Use as directed.
Hey, have you heard? Cialis is here. Are you ready? Get to know Cialis. Don't miss another moment to talk to your doctor about prescription Cialis Tadalafil. Find out today if a free sample of Cialis is right for you. You can learn more about Cialis by visiting www.cialis.com or by calling 1-877-4-CIALIS. Cialis, it's here. Are you ready?
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
I think so.
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hey.
What's going on? Yeah, so I think that guy could, that minister at the Salvation Army, could actually go, to, you know, he's breaking the law.
Yeah, he is, according to the IRS this past June.
Yeah, so what do we got? We got the, oh, look at that. There's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Business Report.
Uh-oh.
This week's big news is the apparent loss by the Coalition Provisional Authority of over $20 billion in oil revenues belonging to the people of Iraq. At first glance, this might seem like bad news. After all, $20 billion is a lot of money. That could pay for infrastructure and things like burying wedding parties. But let's look at the other half of this glass that's full. Since most of Iraq's reconstruction projects are awarded to U.S. companies, this staggering example of corruption actually represents what those in the know call an exciting business opportunity. For instance, if your company specializes in sewage treatment, oil refinement, or even torture and artificial limb manufacturing, you might want to stand in line for the endless reconstruction projects being handed out to American businesses. Now you may ask, hey, U.S. companies get to charge 10 times more than Iraqi companies. Where will all that money come from? Well, that's where the missing $20 billion comes in. You see, business, like life, is a recurring cycle, folding into itself and eventually ending up where it started. In this case, with $20 billion. So remember, wherever there's chaos and corruption, there's always profit. God bless America. This has been the Morning Business Report.
All right.
Wow.
I was looking to see if any of that oil money was in my pocket, but it's not. I only have a dollar.
I can't even imagine the kind of money they talk about. I can't even imagine it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some days where I really wish I had all the money.
$20 billion.
Seriously. Right now, you know what time it is? It is time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't easy finding a Dog of the Week heading into the 4th of July. However, by midweek, it became clear who that dog would be. He appeared in an Iraqi court and acted exactly like you'd expect a deposed despot to act. He is, of course, Saddam Hussein. He says he's still president of Iraq, showing optimism still lives in at least one Iraqi heart. He's charged with 7 specific crimes for which he could receive Iraq's newly resurrected death penalty. We on the left are often criticized for not being hard enough on Saddam's harsh dictatorial rule. So here it is. Saddam Hussein, by all objective accounts, lusted for power and wasn't afraid to kill to acquire and maintain it. He was a bad man, a very bad man. We in this country ought to know, after all, for a while, he was our very bad man. But, of course, that was then. This is now. Saddam's show trial is, in a way, just as important for Americans as it is for Iraqis. He is our visible face of evil. Without Saddam, what real reason is there left for going to war in the first place? So Saddam Hussein waits to go on trial in the physical custody of the U.S. while in the legal custody of the interim Iraqi government. Talk about a rock and a hard place. How long will it be before he realizes that scaffold they're building is for him? Yo, Saddam, you're the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. Enjoy it while you can.
Thank you, Mark Riley, the Dog of the Week. Saddam, back in the day, was one of our guys.
That's right.
Alex in Manhattan, how are you, buddy? What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
I got a poem and a scoop, a political scoop. The poem is, Ashcroft said that Christ was our king. Okay, so Christ is our king. He sends us the news. Now I got to figure what to do with the Jews.
Oh,
okay, now, you got to listen to this.
What does that mean? Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish, Alex?
No.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jesse what is that all
Helm
about?
Wrote in a business magazine that the Bush tax cut was the most atrocious thing that he could have done, that if Jesse Helm was in the Senate, he would have voted against it. You could look that up. It's in some business magazine in his home
some
state.
Some business magazine. Thank you for calling,
okay,
Alex.
I thought Jesse would have said the worst thing he could have done was marry a black woman. I don't know.
What was with the Jew limerick?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, it's weird when an old guy says something like that. You're like, oh, listen, there's a nice old guy talking the weird stuff, the anti-Semitic stuff. Where was he coming from? I think he was on the right side of things. I'm not sure what he thought he was being cute.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to tell you how you can mess with the Republican National Convention, a 4th of July terror warning, former Clinton Labor Secretary Robert Reich. Plus, we talked to a Jewish guy who wrote the Iraqi Constitution. This is Air America Radio.
if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener?
Everyone would be in love with...
Everyone would be in love...
Everybody would be in love with me!
Oscar Mayer original hot dogs have quality meat, no fillers. For hot dogs you feel good about, you can count on Oscar.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee, at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence rocks Iraq this morning. There's word that one person was hurt in a rocket attack at a hotel used by Westerners in the capital. A U.S. soldier says the rockets were fired from a homemade launcher in the back of a van, but some of them misfired, blowing up the van. One rocket reportedly hit the Sheraton Hotel near the landmark Baghdad Square, causing minor damage. Still another went off near a hotel used by Western security contractors. In other news, a British soldier will stand trial over the shooting of a 13-year-old Iraqi boy. This according to a government general today. Attorney General Lord Goldsmith said the soldier, identified only as Private Johnson of the King's Own Scottish Borderers, would be tried for unlawful wounding over an incident last September 15th in which the boy was hurt. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge is reminding Americans to remain vigilant against possible terror threats this 4th of July holiday weekend. Threat level remains at midpoint yellow with no specific threat of an attack. Time to the holiday, but Ridge told NBC's Today show this morning that it's not a bad idea to remind holiday travelers to keep a watchful eye out. He says it's not necessary to raise the threat level to deploy people and technology to make Americans more secure. The FBI is urging law enforcement agencies to step up patrols and watch for signs of terrorist activity. That includes surveillance of potential targets. FBI also has advice on how to spot possible suicide bombers. Tip-offs include being dressed in irregular, loose-fitting clothing, not appropriate for warm weather, sweating, mumbling, and refusing to show hands. And in other news, President Bush, on the heels of his return from a NATO summit in Turkey earlier this week, returned to the White House, where yesterday he observed the 40th anniversary of the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. He called the event a great anniversary of justice and equality, and his bid to reach out for black voters. Bush acknowledged yesterday that 40 years ago, basic rights were observed or denied based entirely on race. He admitted that there's still a need for more change, but his Democratic presidential opponent, John Kerry, said that the change should come from Bush himself, who he accused of backsliding on civil rights. Kerry's campaign added that Bush had nominated more judges who would roll back civil rights. They add that Bush has virtually closed down the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division and oppose affirmative action. Polls show that the presidential race may be in a dead heat, with Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry holding an edge, but a small band of academics who purportedly use scientific formulas to predict elections believe Bush is on his way for a sizable win. That's the conclusion of a handful of political scientists who the Democrats hope are dead wrong this time. The group claimed to have honed the art of election forecasting by devising elaborate mathematical formulas based on key measures of the nation's economic health and public political views. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This weekend on the Laura Flanders Show, former Washington Post columnist Nicholas von Hoffman tells us just what we've got to celebrate this weekend. With the sleight of hand over, Iraqis have certainly got plenty of independence still to fight for. We'll hear about the Reconstruction's missing millions. And how about stirring up some voters at your local fireworks party? We'll hear some rabble-rousing stories and play you some music to make trouble by. All that and a rebroadcast of our interview with Ricky Lee Jones. On the Laura Flanders Show, Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, the end times continue. We'll talk with the nice Jewish boy who helped write the laws for 24 million Muslim Iraqis. And no, it's not Robert Reich. He's on later as well. Plus, the president, presidential palm pilot in today's top secret presidential daily briefing. That's all coming up. Right now, I got Mark Riley here.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition. We're having a good time. We've been here for days, all week. It's Friday. Man, it takes on a whole new meaning. Friday with a four-day weekend. Whoa!
Let me do my light radio. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh man, it's a 3 day. It's well, my
How
producer just said it's a 3 day weekend. Oh well, then I got the surprise for you.
Cancel your flight.
Guess he's gonna be on the radio on Tuesday.
Me, myself, and I.
Jonathan, the Chess Hall Bouncer Larson. Is our producer. He's going to come in with three boxes of comics and just read aloud from them.
Uh-oh.
This is Silver Surfer number 4. Back when it was good. He said he's got number 1.
Uh-oh.
That's got to be worth a few bucks.
Yeah, right. What are you doing working here, Jonathan, with Silver Surfer number 1?
Oh, dude, I went to his house, man.
Yeah?
It's like, it looks like a normal house. And then he's like, he says, oh, let me show you this room. And he opens up this door. Floor to ceiling comic book boxes. All right?
Wow.
Floor to ceiling. There are like thousands of comic books. And like, all that means to me is sad childhood. Really, I mean, it's like, what about Friends? Shut up.
I'm reading.
Yeah, like, why is Jonathan sitting in the corner with his comic book? Because nobody likes him.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. I'm kidding. I like him. Now he's going to like this.
Right.
Something weird is going to happen in my head. Some screeching noise where my nose starts to bleed.
30 seconds.
I was into comic books later in life. Like, I went through a weird period. I guess it was in my early 30s, actually, when Hellblazer and Sandman came out. Mm-hmm. And I got really into them, and I got into Iggy Pop and the Stooges really late. I didn't understand the Doors until I was in my 30s. It's weird. There was a lot of things that people did when they were younger that I, at some point in my early 30s, said, oh, my God, what did I miss, you know, thinking about me all the time?
Ah.
So I started collecting comic books. And then the problem with that, it's like any other addiction, is eventually it's like, okay, you start collecting one comic book, and then they introduce a character, like, wow, this character is cool. Oh, he's got his own book, right? And then, like, you start buying that book, and they're like, but the whole universe was created with this other book, but you got to go to the back issues, then you got to buy 50 of those, right? And then a new comic comes out under the same label. It's like, well, that's that writer. Wow, this is cool. And before you know it, every week or every 3 weeks, you got like a 25 comic book nut going, and you got a Jones every month where you're sitting there, you read it right when you get home, and then you got to wait 3 weeks going, what's going to happen to the guy with the purple eyes? I mean, that's the most important problem of your month. I hope that guy comes back, because if he doesn't come back, the universe is going to be broken. You know, it's ridiculous. So now I've got like two boxes of comic books that I still hold on to. I've got a few Swamp Things. I was in the Swamp Thing.
You were in the Swamp Thing?
Yeah, like the mid-period Swamp Thing I kind of dug. I dug the art in some of them, and I really liked, I loved Hellblazer, because I identified with the main character somehow. I was that paranoid and that out there where I read Hellblazer thinking, like, this seems reasonable. This guy's clearly out in the world solving the big problems. Like, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was a baseball card guy. I read comic books, but I never... I collected for a little while. They had these, like, line of horror comic books, you know, where people severed heads and all that. And I kind of got off of that. And it was baseball cards, because you could, like, flip them and play games with them.
Someone turned me on. Someone gave me a collection of Topps, Topps cards. When I was a kid, my grandmother's next door neighbor,
really?
Jody, gave me this box of comics. It had Mickey Mantle's, it had Johnny Bench's rookie card in it. And I was never a baseball guy, but it had these great cards. You know,
really?
I didn't know.
What'd you do with them?
Dude, I don't want to even admit it.
Uh-oh.
I was
you
in
just
college.
Threw them out one day with the garbage.
I was in college, and I think I traded them for blow.
I thought you were going to say a hooker, so we're in the
same
ballpark.
Don't know if that guy's still out there, but Dave, you know, if you've got those cards, did you sell them? Whatever happened to them,
yeah.
Right? Because I'll tell you one thing, the blow only lasted that night.
Listen, you're about to blow town.
I'm about to blow town, and it's, of course, the weekend of fear.
Yes.
You know, if you're out there and it's July 4th weekend, remember to be suspect of any loud noises or things that blow up in the sky, because that could mean trouble.
Well, you know, they're saying the FBI is urging police all over the country. They're not saying, well, we can do anything about the terror problem. They are urging police nationwide to step up patrols and watch for signs of terrorist activity during the upcoming 4th of July weekend. And I think I saw a little evidence of this yesterday. I was driving somewhere, and I was going on an approach ramp to one of the big expressways that they have out here.
And you saw a guy walking down the street with a bomb strapped to his back?
No, I saw a cop stopping every car in the lane next to me. Just stopping them.
Randomly?
Yeah, no. Lining them up. Stopping
all
them,
of them,
looking, you know, I'm actually stopping everybody that was coming down this ramp. So I'm figuring that that's kind of like stepping up the vigilance, as the FBI says. The Homeland Security Department has no plans to raise the nation's color-coded terror alert level above the current status of yellow. I think here in New York City, we're probably, I got to double check on this, but there may be a difference in New York. I think they may have a higher alert status here just because we're New York.
Because we're New York, and it's a lot more crowded. Like, I was looking at some of these signs that they put out. The FBI bulletin repeated, local authorities have previously released list of indicators often associated with suicide bomb attacks overseas. And some of these are irregular, loose-fitting clothing not appropriate for warm weather, possibly with protruding bulges or exposed wires or noticeable chemical odor. That guy's on my train every morning.
That could be a black guy wearing an iPod.
Sure, and smelly.
Yeah.
You know, he drank too much Gatorade or some other. Anyway, sweating, here's another sign. Sweating, mumbling, or unusually calm and detached behavior. That's me sometimes.
That guy, I shouldn't.
Yeah, in addition, people who refuse to show their hands, possibly to conceal a detonator. Here's the one that gets me. Large or heavy baggage not appropriate for the location. I mean, New York, you know, if you were to, like, abide by these rules, I could not make it through the morning. I mean, just to get on the train, you see all of this.
There would be people lined up waiting to get to the turnstiles as they check each and every person who's either sweaty, wearing loose-fitting clothes, or any of those things. But, you know, I wonder the extent to which they just being alarmist. And remember, too, that when they tell these different police departments to do this sort of thing, it costs money.
Well, that's why they don't raise the alert color.
Yeah.
You know, only when they really have to. And also, I think they'll raise it, you know, as the closer we get to November. Because remember, be afraid.
Be afraid. Florida. You remember Florida.
Oh, man. Right. Big news. They got to come clean.
South Beach.
Got to come clean.
Florida has to release a list of suspected felons that it wants to purge from the voter registration rolls so that we don't have a repeat of 2000 when literally thousands of people were wrongly prevented from voting because their names were on a felon list. But guess what? They were not felons.
Right.
Now we're talking about 47,763 people in a state where the margin was decided by 537 votes 4 years ago. So you see that this could be a landslide for whoever.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe how devious and screwed up that is. And most of these people were black.
Yes.
And in like I can't believe, and they knew it, and they closed, you know, voting poll booths at weird
times.
They
blocked access roads.
I mean, it was so devious and so intentional.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, they didn't pay for it. They still haven't paid for it. And this is because CNN, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Brought the suit.
CNN, I believe the ACLU, several civil rights groups. But see, what's insidious about this situation now, because it's now 4 years down the road, we've seen it happen already once. What they're trying to do now is to, in fact, purge felons who have been convicted of crimes in other states. See, it's one thing to be convicted of a felony in Florida and be told you cannot vote in the state of Florida. Florida, I believe, wanted to expand that a little bit and make it so that people who were convicted of felonies in other states who then moved to Florida would also not be eligible to vote. It's a neat little twist they're trying here.
They're assuming that all these all these criminals are Democrats.
Well, it says here, according to the Miami Herald, and this is from their online, miamiherald.com, more than 2,100 Florida voters, which is roughly four times the margin of 4 years ago, many of them black Democrats, could be wrongly barred from voting in November because Tallahassee election officials included them on a list of felons.
And these were people with just similar names, some of them. Like, you know, if there was one Johnson who was actually on the felon list, sometimes, you know, 14 Johnsons would be put on if they had the same opening, you know, beginning initials.
Well, this is even deeper. The Miami Herald did an investigation and found out that 2,119 of the names on that felon list should not have been there because they had gotten their rights restored through the clemency program. It's not even that they weren't supposed to be there. They were convicted felons who got clemency, so they should have the right to vote.
They did their time. They paid their debt to society. Now they should be part of it again. That's ridiculous.
Of course,
2,000 people and then, you know, thousands of other people. I hope this makes a difference. Sometimes, like, I get so excited at the thought of Bush losing that I'm beside myself. Yeah. You know, just the idea of it, you know, the idea of that guy going down and all these guys going down with him. Did you see Cheney yesterday grumbling in front of those people in Louisiana? That guy can't even pretend to like people. It's mind-blowing.
Feel my wrath.
Yeah. We'll be back on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Twenty past the hour. Good morning. It's Friday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Good morning.
Got through 3-day weekend coming up. I tried sitting down, Riley.
Doesn't work for you.
Yeah, it freaks me out. Like, I stand up when I do this show, and Riley sits down.
I have lumbago.
And I've been standing up since the beginning of this show.
Yes.
And I just tried sitting down. It freaked me out.
Why?
Because I felt like I was somewhere else. Like, it wasn't like I could just watch TV or something. So right now we got the Ramon got this earlier before he got mad at me from the Oval Office. Here's he downloaded this from the Presidential Palm Pilot. This is the schedule for the president today, 8:30 a.m. Wake up, holiday weekend. No Iraq, no Kerry, no Reagan, no Clinton, no Michael Moore, no Abu Ghraib, no Cheney, no F word, and best of all, no work. Just me and Laura and a case of bottle rockets. 9:30 a.m. Choose belt buckles and hats for casual, spontaneous Camp David photos. Vacation note, stay away from that damn mountain bike. 10:15 a.m. Call Cheney. Can I go yet? Can I go yet? Can I go yet? Can I go yet? Damn. 10:30 a.m. Put on boring big boy suit. Have to act presidential, but only for one more hour. 10:55 a.m. Make boring stupid remarks on the boring stupid economy. Include this phrase. America's doing so well that under my administration, people work two or three jobs. 12:10 p.m. before leaving for Camp David press conference, make sure that annoying Irish chick isn't given press credentials. 12:12 p.m. enough of that communicating with the people crap. Saddle up. Let's roll. 1:30 p.m. arrive at Camp David. Tell Kissinger to clear his stuff out. 2:00 p.m. put on cowboy outfit. Turn off cell phone. Cowboys don't need cell phones. 3 p.m. take cowboy nap and cowboy jammies. 5 p.m. cowboy whittling. Stock plenty of Band-Aids. 7:05 p.m. have Laura put on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman outfit to treat my cowboy whittling cuts. 9 p.m. sit around cowboy campfire. Singe cowboy eyebrows. Help, Dr. Quinn! Get this. Noah Feldman is a law professor with New York University, worked with the Coalition Provisional Authority at the beginning of the occupation, and then worked with the Iraqis in writing the Constitution. He joins us on the phone right here in New York City. Good morning, Noah Feldman. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
So how did a guy like you get involved with writing the Constitution for the Iraqis?
Well, a lot of it was just luck of the draw. I happened to have been someone who knew Arabic and studied Islamic studies and had wrote on constitutional law, and when they went looking for someone to advise them, there weren't a lot of people who fell into that category.
Wow, so you know how to do all that.
Well, after a fashion. You know, their constitution isn't exactly in power yet, so it remains to be seen.
So what about this? What about the trial of Saddam Hussein? How is that going to unfold, and how is it going to compare to, say, an American trial, or how involved is the military going to be? Do you have any information on that?
It's going to unfold pretty slowly, and it's going to look a little different than a U.S. trial where the defense and the prosecution take turns hammering at each other. Here, it's more driven by the investigating judges of the special tribunal. So they're going to introduce evidence and sort of take it one step at a time. So it's going to be a slow process. I suppose in that way it's sort of similar to our trials. Then it's going to take a long time.
So do you think it's going to be timed out politically to try and help President Bush's reelection effort?
I think there are a lot of people who hope that that's the case within the U.S. government. And we did send out a whole team of special advisors to get this tribunal up and cranking, really to light a fire under the Iraqis. And I don't think the politics was uninvolved with that decision.
And do you think that there is any way that the United States could be implicated in his testimony, and how would that play?
One of the defenses that he can raise is to say, look, there's no way I committed all of these terrible crimes with poison gas and so forth in the years 1986 to 1989 because here's the proof that the U.S. was supporting me in those years.
Right.
And he's also going to try to subpoena, I'm sure, most high-ranking U.S. officials from the time that he was serving as president. So I think there's basically two lessons we need to learn from this. One, when you put someone on trial, you've got to be prepared to take the good with the bad. And two, much more importantly, don't support dictators who are gassing their own people.
Important point. NYU law professor Noah Feldman is our guest. You said something that kind of struck me a little bit earlier. You said that there is a possibility that politics is playing a role and will play a role in the timing of Saddam Hussein's trial. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, think of there's two people who both would benefit from a fast election. One is the transitional government headed by Iyad Alawi in Iraq. This transitional government, which was really essentially named by the United States with the United Nations approval, has to run for election on January 2nd. So they want an election, a trial to go forward quickly to show that they're the government, that they're really in charge. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the more attention there is on Saddam, the more we're going to hear about Saddam's very real war crimes, his genocide, the torture that he committed. And that offers a justification for the Iraq War, and obviously the administration here would benefit from that being in the news.
So now, in terms of creating a constitution for the Iraqis, where do you start with that? Do you base it at all on the American Constitution? How do you start a constitution from scratch?
First thing to realize is that it's got to be an Iraqi document.
Uh-huh.
And so Iraqis really had to be the ones and were the ones who drafted and designed it, and I helped out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is that it couldn't look just like the U.S. Constitution or the British Constitution or some other constitution with just a few Iraqi details slapped on, because it wouldn't stand for what the Iraqi people believe in. So it's really a mixture of many different constitutions, including some of the old pre-Saddam Iraqi constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Feldman, what is the problem in the constitution, apparently, that I know on the one hand there were some parts of it that the Shiites had a problem with, and there were other parts of it that the Kurds had a problem with? Can you elaborate on that a bit?
You bet. The situation going into the interim constitution period, namely between now and the time there's actual elections for a real constitution,
mm-hmm.
is that nobody really knows what the public will want when there are elections. So the Kurds wanted a guarantee going into an eventual constitutional convention that if they didn't like the final product constitution, that they could veto it by a majority of two-thirds of the people in three provinces of the country, and they have at least three provinces,
mm-hmm.
voted against the constitution. Now, the Shia are a majority in the country. They're about 60%, maybe a little more, and they strongly objected to this. They said,
mm-hmm.
when it gets time to write a real constitution, if a majority of people want it, then it's the constitution.
Huh. Is there anything in there that would stop it from becoming a theocracy like the Taliban-driven Afghanistan?
Yes, there are guarantees of equality for women, equality for non-Muslims, guaranteed free speech, guaranteed free association, guaranteed freedom of religion. Taliban Afghanistan had none of those things.
How real are those guarantees? I mean, we've heard stories, for example, where insurgents have gone into places like Fallujah and where women have not walked around fully garbed. They've been spat on. They've been attacked and harassed in a lot of cases. I mean, can that part of the Constitution realistically be enforced in a country with no military and very little police force?
The world is littered with beautifully written constitutions that are irrelevant in practice. And I'd be lying to you if I said there was any guarantee that the Iraqis' strong guarantees of rights in this constitution are guaranteed to be enforced, because very possibly they won't be. However, there is a strong will in Iraq to insist that law should be the way things are governed. That's not how they've done things in the past, and they know that they want it, and they're going to have to realize, as I think many, many Iraqis do, that if you have the rule of law, you have to enforce the rights that are on paper. But, you know, the truth is, it's a conservative Islamic country in many places. And that means that some people will try to enforce their customs even if the law says otherwise.
Any constitutional problem with the death penalty?
The United States Constitution doesn't prohibit the death penalty, and that's one of the reasons that we still have the death penalty here in the United States, even though at various points the Supreme Court has taken an alternative view. But the bottom line is that that's up to each individual country. The international human rights community believes, and in fact many Europeans believe this, that the death penalty is always wrong, no matter
right.
where you are. But obviously that's not the view in the U.S.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for joining us, Noah Feldman. It was a pleasure talking to you. That was Noah Feldman, who helped draft the Iraqi Constitution. Very bright guy.
Yeah, yeah, incredible. Coming up, former Clinton Labor Secretary, Professor Robert Reich, the Presidential Daily Briefing, and the all-important liberal agenda. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein has given little in the way of information. In the 7 months he has been behind bars in U.S. military custody, this according to several interrogators who spoke to the New York Times. Reaction to Hussein's court appearance yesterday received a mixed response from Iraqi nationals. Many of them felt saddened to see their once revered leader reduced to a common criminal, so others are looking forward to seeing more of Saddam in court. Civil libertarians are preparing to let President Bush have it. This over campaign efforts to mobilize the conservative religious community in a blatant bid for church membership directories. And three people died of rabies after receiving infected organs from the same donor in what the government says are the first documented cases of the disease being spread through organ transplants. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a half million others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt. Where now we're down to just our mortgage.
Just imagine the financial freedom of being debt-free.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. Call 1-800-300-4662. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. 1-800-300-4662. That's 1-800-300-4662.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered, it's zillionaires, good and bad. It's the who's who of the top 1%. Do you know the members of the other Green Party? Don't exclude yourself from this exclusive report about the financially exclusive. Also, Ambrosia sings the news and the Unfiltered Party Machine, because we know how to get down. Tune in. Unfiltered. Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here. How are you? I'm here with Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition, Air America Radio.
Can I try that?
Sure.
How are you?
All right. Yeah. I did the Riley. Yeah. Right now, as always, a pleasure. We talk to him every month when the employment numbers come out. Former Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration and now a professor of social and economic policy at Brandeis. Also the author of a book that enlightened me, Reason Why Liberals Will Win the Battle for America. A great read, very informative. It will help you fight your conservative co-workers. Please welcome Robert Reich to the show. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
And also, Mark, how are you guys?
All right.
A great 112,000 created in June. Unemployment rate 5.6. What's it mean?
Well, it means very, very little. In fact, this is very, it continues to be a disappointing. It's an anemic report. It's less than it was last month. I think things are slowing down a bit, which is bad news for the economy, good news for John Kerry, bad news for George W. Bush.
So he needs 150,000 just to keep pace with population.
He needs 150,000 just to keep up with the population growth of people who want new jobs. So we are already in a hole of about 1.3 million. That is 1.3 million jobs lost since 2000, and we're not even keeping up with the growth of population. So it's really quite nothing to write home about.
So all he can hope to do now is convince people that God will take care of them.
Yes, God will take care of you, and I won't.
Yes.
Now this combined with the fact that interest rates are going up, a la Alan Greenspan, energy prices have gone up, gas pump prices have gone up, health costs have gone up, milk and eggs have gone up. Well, you know, most people don't feel very good about it. Consumer confidence, Mark, is up a little bit, but not among people who are earning less than $50,000 a year. Consumer confidence among them is going down.
So is inflation a fear? Is it happening?
No, there's no real, you know, the Federal Reserve Board did raise interest rates this past week because they wanted to preempt inflation,
right.
Like preempting Saddam Hussein. But there was no real evidence of much inflation. The energy sector, health and so forth have been going up for quite some time. Other prices have not shown much increase. The point is that average working Americans are still not seeing much by way of wage gains, and they're still seeing huge increases in their health insurance premiums. So if you ask average working Americans, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, you get a resounding no.
Important point. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, I know one thing that the Clinton years did do was take and make a noticeable dent in the black youth unemployment rate. During the 90s, that rate dropped pretty precipitously. How does it look going into this summer, in the summer of 2004? Are summer jobs generally for young people available?
They're not at all available, Mark. In fact, it's a big, big problem. The summer jobs program was eliminated. That is the government-subsidized program. And we have teenage unemployment hovering around 20 to 30%. In many of our central cities, it's over 50%, which means that most of these kids have nothing at all to do.
Mm. And I know that the there was a study done here in New York recently that said the black male unemployment rate, 16 to 64, was over 50%.
Yeah, and that's been pretty steady since 2000. But you're absolutely right that in 1998 and 1999, we saw for the first time in about 30 years a black male unemployment drop. A lot of new jobs for people in inner city areas because the whole economy was doing so well that employers had to do something they almost never do, and that is go into areas, inner city poverty, and say, I need you to come work for me.
Mm-hmm. So how much of an effect has outsourcing and companies going overseas?
It has a little bit of an effect. I think it's been exaggerated. The big problem basically is that you've got a large budget deficit. You've got tax cuts for the wealthy. You've got a lot of spending on the war. You have many, many consumers who are worried about their variable rate mortgages, worried about being deep in debt, interest rates going up, and jobs are still pretty insecure. So consumers are still not going to the malls in the numbers that would make employers eager to rehire.
So now I got to hold on to my house, right?
Well, I'd hold on to your house. It's still a pretty good time to get a mortgage. It's not, you know, I would say if you're getting a mortgage, get it now. Don't wait for another 18 months or even 6 months. But the economy is lackluster. At this time in a so-called recovery, it is remarkable, and I want to underscore this, remarkable how basically meager things are. George W. Bush is going into an election in which an economy that ought to be by this time, with interest rates so low and with all that government spending and all that deficit, ought to be quite hot. But there's not really much there.
Secretary Rice, real quickly, can't Bush, as an incumbent president, do anything to generate jobs as he heads towards November? What levers does he have at his disposal?
Well, he doesn't have any levers left. I mean, you know, you're running a huge budget deficit. You're running an interest rates coming from the Federal Reserve Board are very, very low. I mean, he could offer a tax cut to average working people instead of a tax cut to the very wealthy. For example, something I've been recommending for a long time, first $15,000 of your income should be exempt from your payroll tax. Most Americans are paying more in payroll taxes than they are in income taxes. And by payroll taxes, I mean that FICA, F-I-C-A, that appears. Mm-hmm. That's withheld. It's very regressive. Over $88,000 a year, you don't even pay any FICA tax. But if you exempted the first $15,000, that would be a shot in the arm and money in the bank for average working people. But it's not, you know, this administration doesn't care about average working people.
Well, we want to continue that conversation. Will you hang on with us, Secretary
Rice?
Yeah,
sure.
Great. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to Secretary Rice in a second, so come back, Air America Radio.
In financial markets today,
the Dow is up, the NASDAQ is down.
On Wall Street today,
this is the sound of what's running our world, the corporations.
Within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species.
We just paid $3 billion for these television stations. The news is what we say it is.
Now there's The Corporation, an acclaimed award-winning documentary set to explode in theaters across the country. The San Francisco Bay Guardian calls it brilliant, hilarious, and chilling. The Economist says people on both sides of the globalization debate should pay attention. See The Corporation. You can't afford to miss it.
I'm convinced that a few people are going to leave this movie theater and go and do something, anything, to get this world back in our hands.
The Corporation, a Zeitgeist Films release. Now playing at New York's Film Forum. Visit thecorporation.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
42 past the hour. Mark Maron, Mark Riley is here.
Hey.
We have Robert Reich on the phone. It's now time for our presidential daily briefing. This is a highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDD from the intelligence community is titled, Founding Fathers Threaten White House Security. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that this weekend marks the observance of a holiday known as Independence Day. In addition to the unfortunate name, further investigation shows that it honors those who founded this country and the ideals they stood for. These ideals are, to say the least, disturbing. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, due process of law, democratically elected officials, freedom of the press, and the use of the phrase, all men are created equal. If someone ran around saying this today, we would have them arrested immediately. Clearly, the commemoration of such ideas flies in the face of everything your presidency stands for. We recommend that you lie low. Any sort of compare and contrast would be futile. The panic room at Camp David is a very comfortable place to hang out, and Monday we can all go back to Bushness as usual. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Secretary Reich, we were talking about tax breaks for working people. A good idea.
Well, yes. There aren't any tax breaks for working people. In fact, working people are paying more in taxes than they've ever paid before in order to basically finance our war on terror and homeland security and big breaks for big companies. I mean, this is what's happening. We don't talk about it very much, but actually there's been a tax increase on working people because Social Security and payroll taxes keep going up, and local and state taxes keep going up in order to make up for the big gap in the budget created by the federal government.
Why don't people realize this? Why don't regular people, you know, realize? I guess it's too complicated for some of them to understand.
Well, it's a little bit complicated, but let's try to simplify.
Okay,
Just envision it for a second.
Yep.
You've got tremendous cuts in income taxes for the rich. You've got tremendous increases in spending on the military and on various other things like homeland security, which means the interest on the federal debt keeps getting larger. Who's going to pay for it? Not the rich. They got a tax cut. It means you and I are going to pay for it. Meanwhile, social services are being cut mainly at the local and state level because the federal government is reducing its expenditures. Who's going to pay for it? Not the rich. They got a tax cut. It's going to be you and me.
How the hell does this president sell himself as the average guy's president, the working person's president? Why do they believe that?
Well, it's the big lie. It's George Orwell all over again. You say it over and over and over again. You guys got a tax cut, and everybody starts believing it. I mean, the average tax cut is not so bad, but every time you hear this administration use the word average, watch your wallet. I'm pretty short. The basketball player Shaquille O'Neal and I have an average height of 6 feet. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything because, you know, you've got the big guys, the CEOs, taking home $20 million a year, and that drives the average up. But actually, most people are seeing nothing of a tax cut.
You cover a lot of this in your book, Reason, which I found to be very informative and really helped me, you know, congeal some thoughts together about things that I didn't quite know how to talk about. So who is your VP choice, Secretary Reich?
Well, it's not so much a choice, but I do think, and I have no inside knowledge on this, that Tom Vilsack, governor of Iowa, is going to be the vice president. I've been saying this for a year now. People used to say, who? And now they say, who? But I think John Edwards will be very good. I think that, you know, there are a lot of good candidates, but Tom Vilsack is an excellent governor. It seems to me likely that John Kerry is going to want to have somebody who's from the Midwest, Mississippi Valley. It's all swing states around there, and also somebody who's not a Washington insider.
Right, so you think he'd pick this guy over Edwards, huh?
I suspect he would, just because, again, John Edwards is another senator. It's a little awkward to have two senators on a ticket, given that it looks like two Washington insiders. And I'm not sure, and again, this is not based on inside knowledge, it's just based on what I've read, that John Kerry and John Edwards get along all that well after the primary.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Secretary, here's a tough question for you. Why would Matt Drudge float the name of Hillary Rodham Clinton as John Kerry's vice presidential choice?
Well, Matt Drudge is a Republican conservative. He would like to get all the other conservatives stirred up because Hillary Clinton has become a kind of through no fault of her own, you know, it'd be kind of a symbol for the conservatives. They don't like her, they dislike her, they hate her, they you know, all you have to do is mention her name, and it's like, well, it's like waving a red flag before a bull. People just you know, they can't stand her. No, she's not going to be vice president. If anything, she is holding out for maybe 2008 if John Kerry is elected, maybe 2012.
Secretary Reich, what do you make of the ability of John Kerry apparently to close this funding gap with President Bush? $180 million raised, $56 million of it on the Internet, an awful lot of it raised just this past month of June.
Mark, it means that people, average people out there who normally don't get involved in politics, certainly don't get involved in funding politics because they don't have very much money, are getting involved. I travel around the country. I have never seen people, not just Democrats, but independents and even some Republicans, as fired up, not only about John Kerry and getting him in, but more importantly about George Bush and getting him out. I mean, this is the most dangerous administration in my lifetime. The upcoming election is the most important election in this country since 1932, and a lot of people who don't normally pay attention to politics are suddenly waking up.
Thank God.
They're concerned about the environment. They're concerned about the attack on civil liberties. They hate what's going on in Iraq. They're worried about the rich getting big tax breaks. Mm-hmm. You name it, this administration is to the right of Attila the Hun.
Absolutely.
Quick yes or no question. Should Kerry fear Ralph Nader?
Ralph Nader's a problem. Anybody who votes for Ralph Nader has to have his head examined. After 2000, we saw what happened. Ralph Nader said there was no difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush. Well, if you think that now, you really are politically naive.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, a vote for Ralph Nader is, in effect, a vote for George W. Bush. It's a winner-take-all political system. Maybe we shouldn't have it that way. Instant runoff voting would be better. But that's the system we have right now, and let's get with it.
Thank you very much, Robert Reich, for joining us. I very much appreciate it. Always enjoy talking to you.
Okay, Mark.
Thanks
Mark,
a lot.
You take care. Both
you,
of you
too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Former Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration, Robert Reich. I love listening to that guy.
Me too.
Buy his book. It's great. Reason Why the Liberals Will Win the Battle for America. And come back. We'll take some calls. 866-303-2270. We got someone on the line right now, and we'll talk to you after the break. Yay, Air America.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
We're going to put this craft down in a couple minutes. This is Mark Maron, Mark Riley, this morning's edition. A
couple of minutes.
We're going to land this, baby. You're listening to Air America Radio. Mayor has been on the line for a while. How are you, Mayor?
Hey.
Good morning.
What's going on? What happened?
Well, yesterday I was pulled into the BDI neocons boss of the office office.
Uh-huh.
And unceremoniously laid off with no warning, no reason.
I'm sorry.
The position was eliminated.
I'm sorry. What a bastard.
You know, this guy was, you know, I just tried to stay away from him as much as possible because he was really scary.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them are. Yeah, they are scary.
Yeah, he was real scary. I mean, I'm better off, but, you know, I have a kid. I have to find her some food somewhere, you know.
Wow.
Well, you know, do you have any prospects?
No. Although, one thing I was looking on Craigslist, which is a really cool website for community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have them all over the country, apparently.
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And I found a very low-paying job for an organization that's, I think it's titled Beat Bush.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's camp, you know, it's fundraising on the street.
Oh, good, okay.
So,
okay.
You know what? Maybe I'll do that for...
Yeah, why not? Get involved, because if we can get Bush out of there, then, you know, hopefully we can get those employment numbers back up and get you back working where you need to be.
And no matter what, make sure you come out and vote on Election Day. That's the important thing.
The Republican National Convention is going to be in New York, as you know, and we're trying to get some things going on to get some trouble happening with the Republican National Convention in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some ideas. When they come in, take the delegates to church, the Church of Perpetual Indulgence in the Meatpacking District. Or you can convince the Christian right that transvestites can vote as men and women. How about this? Take delegates on Subway. Keep them there. How about this? Bribe a Circle Line captain. 3-hour tour becomes 3-day tour. There you go. How about take delegates to top of Empire State Building? Take elevator down, shut off elevator. Clever. How about this? Take some delegates to S&M Club. Tell them that's where they tape Letterman. Have cameras ready. There you go. How about this? Replace sign for scores with one that reads Republican Delegates Prayer Chapel. Apparently, they're not going to even need to do that. There's going to be plenty going anyways. And we've got some real websites here. We want you to try and infiltrate the Republican National Convention and get hired up over there and be a mole for us and let us know what's going on and also maybe do a little subversion that way. That's at www.nyc2004.org. Or here's another thing that's going on. You can go to www.shutitdownnyc.com. And this is a guy's idea where you you don't go to work that day, especially if you're in the service or retail industries and make it really uncomfortable and bad for them. Or you can get involved in a protest. You can go to www.counterconvention.com. You got a couple there, Riley?
Yep. If you want to know where the Republican National Convention delegates will be staying, and I've already gone up on this website, www.rncnotwelcome.org/hotel.html. You can also go to Swing States. We got a call from a listener the other day. Go to Swing States, register voters. You can get more information on that at www.drivingvotes.com. .org.
Did you already do regimechangeguide.com?
No, that one I didn't do.
You can get out there and fundraise for Kerry, and there's a lot of other stuff. Isn't that the fun website, regimechange.com?
Yeah, regimechangeguide.com.
All these will be on our blog and on our website, morningsedition.com. You can go there. I get to go home to Los Angeles for the weekend and meet my new cat, Moxie, and see my yard.
Moxie, you named her?
My wife named her Moxie.
Moxie?
Apparently,
okay.
The
she's
cat's
got
a,
plenty.
A terror.
Uh-oh.
There's our liberal agenda, the last one of the week for before the three-day weekend from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils. Here we go. One, petition manufacturers to produce nonviolent fireworks. Oh, they sound fun. Two, celebrate Independence Day by giving housekeeper a half day off. Three, pay for a special Jumbotron message at Yankee Stadium thanking New Yorkers for booing Cheney last week. Four, ask Congress to protect Dr. Octopus under the Endangered Species Act. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, founding fathers, screw that. What about the founding mothers? Unquote.
There you go.
Have a great three-day weekend. Happy Independence Day. Be careful.
Now, you can pick up Robert Reich's book, Reason, also at morningsedition.com. And I believe there is there a discount involved with that? I believe
10%.
10% discount. All right.
America Radio Book Club.
Coming up tomorrow, the best of Morning Sedition. And join us on Monday for a special encore edition of Morning Sedition. We'll be back Tuesday with a live version of the show that hasn't retitled to conceal the fact that it's a repeat. That's Morning Sedition, only on Air America Radio. Have a great weekend, y'all.